Not too bad. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. I want to particularly welcome our new councillor, Councillor Martin Harty. You're very welcome to your first council meeting. I hope you enjoy your role on the council and best wishes for the future. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business that it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit off red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There is some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I'll bring members in once all those in the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters: Q for a question, C for a comment, P to propose, and S to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they may make at this meeting. Okay, item one, apologies. Sarah, were any apologies?
Yeah, Chair, of apologies from councillors Gibbons and Kennelly.
Okay, any further apologies on the floor? Anybody else here? Michael Rice. Okay, noted. All the apologies. Okay, before I start on the chairperson's remarks, I'm aware that there's an emergency notice of motion, and Councillor Clark, we'll be dealing with the emergency notice of motion in the same way that we deal with them all at the end of the meeting, through standing order. So we take that after all the notice of motions are heard. And I suppose maybe to start off on that, on the chairperson's remarks, the devastation of the gorse fires in the Mourns has been a huge challenge over the weekend. I want to take this opportunity, along with the many councillors who contacted me, Councillor Laura Devlin, Councillor Clark is the motion in, Councillor Truesdale, contacted me by email, wanting to, from the chairperson's remarks, thank all the volunteers in the frontline services for working tirelessly on the response. So I want to take the opportunity to do that. The fire service have declared the Hilltown Gorse fire as a major incident, 100 firefighters and 14 appliances on the scene. So not only is this a major logistical challenge, but on top of the other multiple gorse fires across the district, I know there's gorse fires from the fire crews in South Armagh in Joneswood that were targeting all weekend. It's a huge logistical nightmare, and God knows what would happen if there was another major fire incident across the north in terms of resources and numbers and safety of people on the front line. In April 2021, we seen the devastation caused by a huge fire that burned for days. And in the aftermath of that fire, government departments committed to collectively tackling the problem through a wildfire prevention strategy. It's imperative that as we face a summer on the back of the current devastation that we see, that we as councillors are able to take action in our own way. I know this, and we all know that significant work has taken place behind the scenes since that meeting in April 2021, where each department is working collaboratively. But as Chair of Council, I have asked the Chief Executive and Democratic Services to call a special meeting, inviting all the agencies to come to Council to outline their work to date and the plans as we face into another summer. And that will give councillors the opportunity to discuss especially the wildfire prevention strategy, what measures are put in place to keep frontline services and firefighters safe, and how we can deal with this going forward. Obviously, we have the motion later on that will write to the DR Minister, and that will be all folded in should that motion pass. And I know the diary is quite tight, and it's coming up to Easter, but we'll work through Democratic Service to see if we can get that meeting in as early as possible. And obviously, with statutory agencies, we can take that meeting on Zoom in order to have everybody be able to take part. Okay, a very busy month across the district. There's a few comments that I want to make in chairperson's remarks. I want to start off with, and it seems that it was a couple of months ago, NMID Sports Awards. It was an absolutely fantastic night, and the councillors that were there. Incredible stories of sport and achievement, especially the one that sticks out is, you know, Declan got to present the award to this remarkable chap with a great character and great wit who swam from Ireland, the youngest person to swim from Ireland to Scotland. He said when he got over to Scotland, the current was pushing him back and he was nearly exhausted. It was pushing him back as he got close to the coast. And he says when he got out of the sea, he met a couple that were standing on the shore and they asked him, did he swim from a neighbouring cove in Scotland? And he says, no, I swam from Ireland. And they couldn't believe him. He says, whatever they replied, he says, they couldn't understand him. It was that exhausted. It was the Scottish accent. So I jumped back into the water and swam back to Ireland. He was absolutely remarkable to listen to. And also the chap, you know, that was quite witty in the wheelchair basketball. I thought it was a really, really good night. And a night, and congratulations to all the staff in NMD Sport and Be Active for pulling the event together. It was so slick, so professional, and Gerry Armstrong really made the night. You could have listened to Gerry Armstrong all night, not only talking about sporting achievements and that famous goal from 1982, but doing a sack race in the mansion of Elton John's house when he played for Watford. I mean, there was some really, really funny stories. So well done to everybody, and well done to all those that won awards at the Sports Awards. And Glyn and Henry will realise that we had met some fantastic girls down in Kilkeel last week that would have no doubt been nominated and won awards at that Sports Awards. We presented them with a crystal bowl from the council and their remarkable achievement on the 14s, on the 16s, and on the 18s. Kilkeel High School girls hockey team won the Ulster Championship. So in three age ranges, taking home the Ulster title in all three, a fantastic achievement. And we had a great crack celebrating it down with them. They actually showed me how to take a selfie. 11 months into the job, and they showed me how to take a selfie. The hair was, you were keeping my hair right. Every event I go to, Glyn keeps patting my hair down for some reason because he says my forehead's as big as Anton Deck's. I keep getting it patted down, but there you go. But no doubt there would have been recognised at the Sports Awards, and probably as it comes around to the Sports Awards next year, they'll be nominated for that. St. Patrick's Day Parade, again, it feels like a lifetime ago. They were absolutely fantastic, and the feedback from people on the ground, both in Uri and Downpatrick, I had the honour of leading the Downpatrick one, and I thought it was absolutely remarkable. The crowds and the good weather, I suppose, made it. But huge congratulations to all the council staff that took part in organising that, and the councillors who work on the St. Patrick's Day Committee. It really was a step up from previous years. I thought what was particularly impressive was a few days beforehand, the fireside stories. And if anyone had the opportunity to go and see fireside stories, it was in Downpatrick, Newry, and I think it was Newcastle. It was the third place. I seen it down in Newry, and it was unbelievable. It was fire eaters, but it was a performance as well. And to have that down in the Albert Basin, it was really magical on a very cold but dry and crisp night. And it just gave you an idea of what you could use, what events you could have on in the Albert Park when it is delivered in years to come. So for all the staff that were involved on putting on the production of Fireside Stories to start off this Patrick's weekend, huge well done. I thought it was absolutely amazing. We had our second recognition event for council staff, and I think this is really important. Before the previous council meeting, we had a number of council staff for employees of the year that were brought in the Monaghan Row for recognition. But this time we had a recognition for 40-year service for, I think there was 16 or 17 members of staff. There was 12 on the night that had come that have collectively nearly 300 years service between them. And it's really humbling to bring them in, have a meal with them and listen to their stories, because there's some wild stories across the council over 40 years. And the amazing thing is it shows how big of an organisation it is, because you have some people sitting in that room that didn't know other people who were sitting in that room, because one works on the Clemson, where one works in Kilkeel Leisure Centre. They would never have crossed paths. So I think the employees really, really enjoyed it, and it's something that we should be doing going forward. So well done, Marie, and coming up with the initiative of doing that. The last few events I thought was really good, and long may that continue. It's very rare that you get the staff staying in a role for such a long period of time. I suppose in the current climate, people are moving jobs all the time, so that in itself, have nearly 300 years service, was excellent. The conference for ending violence against women was a remarkable conference, and for those, and Martina Flynn and all the ones that were involved from the council and pulling that together, obviously with support from the executive office, is incredibly moving conference, and to hear from survivors as well, and the harrowing story of what that lady had went through was really remarkable. But also from Women's Aid, The way Women's Aid put together the presentation of joining everybody with string, where a woman is asking for help in all the stages where somebody could have stepped in and helped them, from the dentist to the butcher to the teacher to the social worker. And when you look back behind you in the room and seeing everybody connected with string, and then you think, why didn't she just ask for help? And you can see the amount of times that was missed. I thought that was extremely moving. So I know we've done a number of events, and Gary Scott, who works with us in ABC Council, particularly on the violence against women and girls, and all the promotion that we do on social media, pulling that conference together and having those speakers there was really, really powerful. And having a conversation with a couple of people afterwards, especially from Women's Aid as well, and I think I referenced it in my opening speech, it's about what we can do as men in order to help address the issue and change the terrifying statistics that we see on this island. And I know a number of people here have watched the show Adolescence. I reference it in the opening speech because it strikes particularly powerfully to me and to other men as well, of how something can sort of start from an innocent person being in their bedroom and just suddenly get worse and worse and worse. And it sort of shines a light bulb on some of the things that we should be doing in order to change the dynamic. So well done to everyone that put on that conference. I thought it was incredibly moving and powerful. A really optimistic conference. Council took a table at the Bolster Conference, celebrating Everyday Heroes, last week or a week and a half ago. And it was an incredible conference. A wee bit like the Chairperson's Awards, where you celebrate Everyday Heroes. People getting a pat on the back for all the stuff that they do, and they don't do it for recognition. I thought it was quite remarkable, and Jacinta and all the crew at Bolster are really doing a fantastic job through their charity and community work. But especially the speaker at the end, and you've probably heard of the keynote speaker, it was Katrina O'Sullivan, who talked about her life growing up in Birmingham, an Irish girl who grew up in Birmingham, and grew up in a house with parents who were both heroin addicts, and her life of living on the street, and how she had come from that, being a teenage mum, moving back to Dublin, living in a homeless hostel, and knocked on the door trying to see and get into a programme during the Celtic Tiger that was to help people that were from disadvantaged backgrounds. She's now a professor, Katrina O'Sullivan, and world best-selling author. And if you have the opportunity to read her book, or to see her on the Late Late Show a couple of weeks ago, her book's called Poor. It is absolutely remarkable. And to listen to her come into this district to tell her story was really, really good at that conference. So I'm glad, you know, the council were involved and supported that conference. And best luck to Bolster in all the work that they do going forward. Down Museum. Anyone gets a chance to go to Down Museum over the next couple of months, hosting the Ockley Shed, celebrating the life of David Strain. David Strain, who originally came from Down, but moved to Belfast in the 1920s, where as a gay man you couldn't be out, but he kept a diary from 1920 to 1943 without missing a day, and his diaries were recovered by a professor in Queen's University who worked with another professor in Ulster University, and they've brought to life the little men's shed that he built on the outskirts of Belfast where he could be himself, and it's now on display in Down Museum. It's absolutely remarkable, and some of the recordings of his diaries are brought to life through BBC Sounds app on Forbidden Love. So it's a 5-part series. If you get the opportunity to listen to that, I'd really recommend it. But do go up and have a look at the display that is in our district for a couple of months before it's going to move to possibly the Folk Museum, just to keep that alive and well. And it goes to show how far we've come from LGBTQI plus issues, where you're actually getting to view 100 years ago when things were so under a cover that you didn't know what was going on or what existed. And it's just remarkable to hear the voice and read the diaries, and the head performers acting out a part of his diary. So I'd really recommend people to go up and see that, and congratulations to the council for securing that in our area. I also want to congratulate the Ashgrove Social Soccer Ladies, who celebrated International Women's Day and hosted a kickabout down in the Neary Showgrounds. That's ladies who are just coming together, who, when I talked to them, said they didn't, they don't care about the rules of football, they don't care about. Some of them know, some of them don't. Some of them are mid-70s, some of them are mid-20s. And they all get out and play well, it's meant to be 5-a-side, but I think it was about 13 against 8 in one of the games. We had to even it up. But Mary Peters, Dame Mary Peters, came down, and she was blown away by it, and came down to Mark International Women's Day, and there was a really, really good event down there. And best of luck to Maria and all at Ashgrove Social Soccer Ladies for continuing that initiative in the future. And if you know anybody around the Newry area who wants to go for a kickabout, whatever their age, tell them to contact Maria from Ashgrove Social Soccer Ladies. The Nilga Awards. I can't go past the chairperson's remarks, but congratulating Councillor Cadogan Enright on receiving the award 2 weeks ago, I think it was. I thought it was a fantastic night. I think it was a fantastic night, and it was hosted in the Game of Thrones studio with a tour before and after. I think they had to put me out at the end. It was nearly midnight, and I was the only one left on the tour trying to read absolutely everything. But I thought it was a great way to show that facility, but also bring all the councils together. So congratulations on your award, Cadogan. Also want to congratulate the council on a very successful investment symposium that was held in Slieve Donard last week. And when you get all the people across the different various communities and business sector and voluntary sector into the one room and show what's going on across this district, from right up from Sandfield right down to Cullerville, we had the video on Newry, we had the talk about what's happening in Downpatrick, in the rooftops, the trees at Castle Welland. It was really fantastic. Spooky to get the big presentation on AI and how it's going to change all our lives. I think a lot of us went out there thinking what the future's actually going to be like when we heard from the president of AI Ireland. I thought it was fantastic. But no, really successful conference. And we had the minister, Eva Archibald, down, so thankfully, thank her for coming down and putting out a promo video for our area as well. We had two youth groups that came in here over the last month. So we had a youth group from Cross Midland, and we had Knockeven in, and thanks to Helene Young for taking Knockeven kids in there last week. It was remarkable, and the crack that they had sitting around here, the jokes that we heard from them was really, really good. Two things came out of it, and they asked me to raise it in chairperson's remarks from the youth group in Cross Midland, who actually got me doing a TikTok out in the middle of that floor. I am the worst dancer, and that's the second dance that's been caught on video as chairperson, and hopefully the last. Two things. They've identified two councillors that eat the most biscuits in the chamber. Sorry, it's Callum Bertie and Una McGuinness.
What?
It might be from previous councillors, but they wanted it noted that they eat the most biscuits because they open the drawers and they have the most biscuit wrappers in their drawers. It might be, might be from yours. Might be the previous one. But they wanted... Yeah, Callum's drawers follow them. Yeah. They didn't say that. They just wanted me to remind you that it's still Lent and to leave it until Easter. So, Helena, I said I'd take it off. And they also, the young ones collectively asked if we could get political support on a major issue for them on why 99p ice creams are not 99p. So if we could all work together on that to get that in, they said it would be greatly appreciated. I have to write a letter back to them, say what action we're going to take on that. Okay, just a couple of more remarks. I want to congratulate Castle Wellens, Dunnock Irish kid, Kerry, on his remarkable victory on his professional boxing debut at Madison Square Gardens. Donnick's inspiration to so many across South Down, certainly putting our district on the international stage, and we're all excited to see what the future holds for his sporting career. And I also want to thank Councillor Devlin for bringing that to my attention. Congratulations to the New Pine Players on reaching the drama All-Ireland Drama Festival finals, and all was championed by Councillor Derry Finn, who brought that to my attention as well. I also want to congratulate the Down Hurling team, who won the Division 2 title. And I know, Garrett, you're always coming with more celebrations for GAA and soccer teams across Down, so it would be remiss of me not to mention that you had emailed that through to me. And also, I want to congratulate Chris O'Hagan, who received the Community Champion Award at the Northern Ireland Housing Executive Awards in Ballaghy in recognition of his work on Shrigley 200. Final few comments. I want to wish best wishes to Tom McLean, who is the head of capital projects, who's retired from council after nearly 3 decades of service. And I think we all wish him a very healthy and happy retirement. Our deepest condolences to the family of Oran McConville, who who tragically lost his life at such a young age. And collectively across the council, on behalf of everybody, our thoughts and prayers with his family and his friends from GAT GAC. As a council, we're also saddened to hear of the death of former officer Margaret Quinn. Our thoughts are with her husband Sean, sons Cormac and Gary, the extended Quinn family. Okay. So, moving on, item two, have we any declarations of interest? No? Okay. Item three, the action sheet arising from council meeting held on the 3rd of March 2025. Yeah, I'm going to do page by page first. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. That's for Ian.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I was just looking to get an update on the progress following the passage of the notice of motion on the establishment of a Uri Canal Regeneration Task Force. I don't think it's on the action sheet there, so I'd be keen to see it on there, and if we could get an update, that'd be great. Thanks.
Marie?
Yeah, sure. I think, as I understand it, it's on the action sheet for the Sustainability and Environment Committee, so that's where you would pick it up. There was a letter sent to the Minister in relation to that, but we're not aware of having had any response, but we're going to just double-check that again.
Yeah, thanks, Marie. Councillor Bowsey?
That's the same. I didn't see any mention of the Festival of Flight on the action sheet, if perhaps we can, if that stays on the agenda and updates given.
Right.
Sure, that's probably sitting on the action sheet for the ART committee. We can double check that it is, but anything that's relevant to a committee will sit within the action sheet of the committee, so you would refer to that committee to get an update.
Yeah, Conor will provide you with an update on the Festival of Flight. Is that okay, Councillor Bowsey? Further comments or questions? Can I get a proposal and seconder for the action sheet? Proposed, Councillor Finn. Can I get a seconder?
Truly seconded, Chair.
Councillor Andrews. Thank you. Okay, on to item four, the minutes of the council meeting held on the 3rd of March 2025. We'll go through it page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11. Page 12, page 13. Yeah, can I get a proposal and seconder?
Happy proposed, Chair.
Councillor Sharon. A seconder. Councillor Hanlon, thank you. Yeah, the matter's rising. Sarah, you can deny online. Just let me know if somebody can say online. Oh, yeah. Okay, moving on to item 5, minutes of the Audit Committee meeting held on the 20th of February 2025. Again, we go through it page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Can I get a proposal and seconder? Thank you, Councillor O'Hare. Proposed by O'Hare. Can I get a seconder? Those in attendance of the Audit Committee. Councillor Bowsey. Oh, sorry, I didn't see it. I took Councillor Bowsey. Okay, any matters arising? Nope. Okay, moving on to item 6, minutes of Economy, Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 10th of March 2025. Okay, going through it page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. You get a proposal and seconder? David, thank you. Opposed, seconder. Yep. Councillor Hanlon, any matters arising? Councillor Enright, go ahead.
Chair, I was in the Department of Economy last week, and the officials in the Department of Economy made it clear to myself and the group that we were with that councillors should be involved in the local economic partnerships. I'm talking about page 4.
Yes, Chair.
Like in North Down, councillors are involved, and councillors have a say in the 4.1 million. Per annum budget that is involved in local area partnership in North Down. But it appears that only management and people appointed by management are involved in our council area. So can I ask that management re-examine the department guidance and revert back to us with how councillors can be involved from the different parties represented on council, so we can have a say in how the local economic partnerships are run in the same way that other councils are doing across Northern Ireland.
Yeah, thank you. Good open. Conor?
Thanks, Chair. The terms of reference for the local economic partnership, including the membership, was tabled at the ERTE committee. It aligns with the structure for the labour market partnership as well, where any recommendations coming out of the partnership are brought through the ERT committee and ratified by council. So that's the agreed terms of reference for the group as agreed by the council.
Chair, that's not in line with department guidance. Guidance is clear that councillors should be involved.
That's not my understanding.
We get that checked from the terms of reference shared.
Can I come in?
Yep, Councillor Hannan.
Just on a point of order, I was on the same meeting where that was raised, and there was an email come out from NILGA with the terms of reference that said that elected reps weren't on it. So I don't, you maybe missed that email that came out to all NILGA members.
Well, no, I was actually in the department itself, and the officials told me I was members of North Down Council were asking, and they were confirmed.
Okay, Cadogan, we'll get that checked on the terms of reference that circulated to you if that's sufficient. For now. Okay. Any other matters in ERT? No. Okay, item 7, minutes of Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee, meeting held on the 13th of March, 2025. Going through it page by page. We've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. Can I get a proposal and seconder?
Post chair.
Councillor McAteer. Yep, can I get a seconder? Espino. Councillor Howie. I see you weren't there because I looked at the list, but you're the chairperson to see it. Apologies, your name's up on the top. Yeah, so that's seconded. Any matters arising? Nope. Okay. Item 8 is minutes of Active and Healthy Communities Committee held on the 18th of March, 2025. Again, we go through page by page. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Can I get a proposal and seconder? Councillor Devlin? Yep. On main, yeah. Seconder? AHC? Councillor Mathers? Councillor Mathers is in on seconder first. Councillor Devlin, Councillor Mathers. Any matters arising? Super stuff. Item 9, minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee, meeting held on the 19th of March, 2025. Again, page by page. For page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Can I get a proposal and seconder? All right, I've got questions first before I take the proposal and seconder.
Answer, Andrews. Could I propose and also could I have a wee comment?
Okay, I get a seconder first.
That's okay, we'll go with the seconder.
Can I get a seconder? Councillor Young. Okay, go ahead, Terry.
And first of all, Chair, thanks very much for the report. And I know at the last meeting, one of the officers outlined that additional staff are going to be recruited. And I'd like to say that news is very, very welcome and support further recruitment of personnel. But I don't know why I'd raise here tonight, but the non-collection of funds, or I need to refer to the officer at Kerry Hill and Kilnay, just that There's problems there with vehicle access to the estate, and people aren't getting...
Terry, can I ask you to refer that to the officer, because we've had it before where we went through, then everyone goes through...
No problem, that's fine, but just flagging
but
it up.
Note your Thank comments you. Around the additional staff, but if you refer to the officer...
And more the merrier. They're doing a good job. More than needed.
Thanks, Terry. Councillor Reilly?
Yeah, Chairman, did you get a seconder, yeah?
Yeah, Councillor...
Yeah, Chairman...
Sorry, I was the previous name.
Chairman, it's on the issue regarding the response to the Department of Health consultation and hospitals creating a network for better outcomes.
Which page are you on? Oh, I see it, yeah.
Yeah, it's SEO 37-2025.
Yeah, 2025, yeah, go ahead.
Chairman, the DUP group have went through the response and we have concerns about it. And we would like it noted that we're not in agreement with the contents of the reply. And also, Councillor Feehan had indicated his desire that we would or Daisy Hill would branch out into the Republic of Ireland and be some sort of a cross-border hospital. We've no issues with cross-border cooperation, but our emphasis must be on NHS patients who have contributed into the system for generations, and that's where we sit on that issue, Chairman. Yeah.
Thanks, Henry. And I know it's on the committee meeting, so I was going to just flag that the response is coming.
That we disassociate ourselves from the contents of the report, Chairman. We'd like that noted.
Yeah, Chair, we will note that within the consultation response.
The letter is actually in correspondence. It comes up later on. The letter in full, which we'll take at that time, Henry. So that's stage. Okay. Thanks, Henry. Any other? Or was it? My apologies. Yeah. Councillor Young seconded. Right. So on to the item 10, minutes of Special Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee held on the 24th of March 2025. And going through this page by page, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. The proposal and seconder. Councillor McAteer to propose. Seconder. Yeah. Councillor Hannan to second. Councillor McAteer. Just proposal. Okay. Matters rising, no. Yeah. Moving on to item 11, the planning section. We have a minute from the planning meeting that is here for note, not decision. It's the minutes on your laptops there in front of you. May I get a proposal on the second? Note the minute. Have to be somebody from the planning committee.
Yeah.
Has to be a member of the
Chair, the reason this is here is because it's outside of planning decisions. It's actually under this motion of the committee, so it's just asking for a ratification, the same as you would with any of the limit.
Okay, thank you, Marie. Councillor McAteer. Sorry, Councillor Murphy to propose. Councillor McAteer. Second. Thank you. Yeah, item 12 in the correspondence. So we have 9 items of correspondence. As per usual, we'll take a proposal and seconder to note them all at the end. But if you're coming in an item of correspondence, can you just state which item it is before you speak to it? I know there's a number, there's at least one there coming from a different council asking us. I know there's one from councils that we note, but it asks us for a response and look forward to a response. And there's certainly one around inclusivity in the workplace. But I know all the bullet points on that that we already do, but just to make sure that we do respond to those if they're adopted by the council. Any questions or comments around the correspondence? Councillor Fien.
Yes, Chair. Just in relation to 12.3, the response from the Minister of Health on the hospitals consultation, I just wanted to very briefly say that I thank the Minister for such a comprehensive response and as well for his reassurance that there would be no move to downgrade Daisy Hill Hospital or to remove its acute hospital status. I would also welcome the Minister's pragmatism and his recognition of the fact that North-South partnership makes sense, whether it mutual benefits. But the one point that I would like to not necessarily challenge but draw members' attention to would be the reference to general hospital designation for Daisy Hill post consultation. You know, in our consultation response, we made it clear that the council's view was that Daisy Hill should be designated as an area hospital. I think we need to hold firm on that view. We obviously need to wait and see what the outcome of the consultation will be. But my perspective with this would diverge from the Minister's there on that, because I do believe that eventual designation of Daisy Hill as a general hospital would constitute a downgrade. So I just wanted that recorded. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Fiel. Councillor Enright.
Regarding 12.1, how do we nominate councillors to go to the training sessions to be enterprise champions, Chair?
Yep. Sorry, Councillor Enright. Have you any clarity for the mechanism for nominations? Just through yourself, sir. It's 12.1 for the local enterprise champions.
Um, Yeah, so it's through ourselves, and then we'll table it onto the. So if you let us know, sorry, which of them that you're wanting to attend, and then we can go back through if it's approved through this evening, that there will be representatives allowed to attend.
Yep. Thanks, Councillor Murray. Councillor Young.
Thanks, Chair. On 12.3, it's encouraging to have the Minister categorically confirm that Daisy Hill will not be downgraded. We know that it's vital that we reconfigure our hospitals to create a more efficient system which would benefit every single person in our community and ensure service sustainability. Daisy Hill Hospital can and should play a key role in the future of Northern Ireland's hospital network, as well as being part of any conversation about the expansion of cross-border health services. Alliance has judged the merits of all transformation proposals according to a number of factors, including their ability to improve the patient experience and population health. The goal must be to access a higher quality services for everyone without factors like rural transport links acting as a barrier or driver of inequities. Alliance's Assembly Health spokespeople will continue to scrutinise the next stages in the hospital reconfiguration process and the Department of Health's delivery of transformation more widely. We take an evidence-led approach to this work, and we want to deliver the best outcomes for all of our constituents. Ultimately, if the desperately needed reform of health service is to succeed, strong political leadership from all parties is needed. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Young. Councillor Hannah.
I don't think you've got to me. Just on that 12, I think it's 12-8 there on the fisheries.
Yep.
I'm sort of disappointed, Sam, in the Minister Muir, in his response. I think he can be a lot more robust in his advocations. Been an advocate for the fishing industry, and it's not just the fishing industry. I don't have any notice of motions that came in this year. I think that the response here is weak and wobbly, so this is a bit all you could call that. He's actually no further on than ever he was. He needs to actually be more robust in dealing with this, and that is an essential part of the fishing industry that we get this sorted out, and should it be the industries that you talked about in your own motion there, I don't know, mushrooms. Could be a year ago, mushrooms, and there's apples, and there's so many things that we're dependent on this for. I actually think the Minister has been weak and wobbly, and that's about all I can say about it there. It's a little waffle, that said, because no matter who meets with him there, he's just a waffly answer. I would like to see him doing a lot more, so I would. So that's my thoughts on it, Chair.
Yep. Thank you, Councillor Hannan. Thoughts are noted. Councillor Hannan.
Yeah, just on the same item of correspondence, I had thought we had discussed in Council about him linking him with his Scottish counterpart as well, given that there would be mixed waters or two. So I think, I'm not sure. I was just noting that we're disappointed with the result there. Yeah.
Or if there's a proposal coming from the floor. Right back to the Minister.
We can put the words of it back to being, weak and wobbly and waffly. I think that was a record for saying the word waffle so many times in the one sentence. I thought you were going to come out with a waffle.
I think it would be marked in asking him to, maybe meet with a Scottish counterpart or find out what to do, to see if there's any shared learnings that they could have from each other.
So that's a proposal for Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, okay. So
everybody in agreement? Yeah. We can get that item of correspondence to go back in that fashion. Any other comments or questions from the correspondence? No? Okay, can I get a proposal and second to note all 9 items of correspondence?
So proposed, Chair.
Councillor Fehan is in first line. Councillor Andrews, I come in second. In your hands too slow. Okay. Item number 13, request for councillors to attend conferences.
Chair, could I just ask you one thing on number 13 there?
I've just moved on to 13, yeah.
But you're going to there, just will we get feedback from these councillors? Because I've never seen feedback from any of them, so I haven't. It goes to these things there and have a bit of a. Don't want anybody to think they're having a jolly, if you know what I mean there. But I'd like to see some feedback from them.
Yeah. First of all, just before we go to take any questions, well, it's self-explanatory. I was going to take you in there because you're the reporting officer on this, Marie, but self-explanatory, you have 2 requests for 2 councillors to go to the 2 conferences stated in your notes. So any further comments or make it a positive
action. I'd like to see their feedback, Chair.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
just on the constables, this is the first time, I suppose, that there have been constables since we put in the new procedure. So each of the councillors that are attending the constables will be expected to fill in the feedback forms, and then we'll come back to councillors for information. And the feedback form will be to decide if the conference is worthwhile going to, if it comes up again, you know, if it's an annual conference, and what the learning out of it.
Excellent. Thank you, Sarah. And Councillor Hannah, I'm going to quiz you on the feedback form to make sure you read it.
Okay.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair. You know, it's just similar to Councillor Hannah. Really, I suppose, just, you know, if there was going to be a report produced, you know, at least some sort of written indication about how the conference, how the benefit really was to our council, I suppose, and how we felt it could deliver a positive outcome for the district. But I think possibly that those reports could be included as part of the full council agenda, a bit like the correspondence that we get, you know, from various departments and different things, where those reports could be included on the agenda at council for elected representatives. If they need to ask any questions at that point, they can have that opportunity. So just as a proposal that they would be included as part of the full council agenda at the following meeting.
Yeah, sure. Just at the back of the report, you will see feedback from the applicant, and we can arrange to table it as part of the correspondence, so as everybody is aware.
Yeah. Yeah, Councillor Henry.
Yeah. Chair, I'll be delighted to share my two-page report. Chair, I'll be delighted to share my two-page report with Glyn on the conference last year, which I did write, but it was never circulated. So I'll send it on to you, Glyn. Mm-hmm.
Delighted to read it. Delighted to read it. Absolutely, can't wait to read it.
Sorry, Chair. Just sorry, Chair. Just on.
Yeah, go ahead. Hold on a second, Sarah.
Just on that concern, I'd sent you through the pro forma. I know that you had done a two-page form, but I need it in the pro forma so that it's standardised across the council.
No flashy brochures. Get out again, right? Yeah. It has to be hand-delivered. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair. You know, I think it's also important, yes, the form that has been filled out, but if there is materials that are shared, that those attending can share it with the wider chamber as well, because certainly I think the reusing revitalisation architecture one on Friday just passed, like there's many of local towns that all of us represent could really benefit from the knowledge that would have been captured at that conference. But I suppose just from the understanding of process as well, obviously in these occasions I did ask for these conferences that the councillors identified themselves, and that is fine as long as they are of merit and of value to the council. But if there was one of these conferences that, you know, 5, 6, 7 people wanted to attend, you know, is party group leaders still the correct mechanism for approval of such a number of councillors wanting to attend one conference? Or, you know, how soon does a request form need to be sent into Democratic Services to ensure that it does get to a committee or off a mechanism where it is approved by the wider chamber rather than the group leaders?
Thanks, Gareth. Sarah, back enough.
Yeah, so I think if councillors generally get these fairly well in advance, so the sooner they come into Democratic Services, then the sooner that we get them onto a committee, onto the council for approval. I think the mechanism was that it would go to party leaders in the case where it can come to a committee or to the council meeting. Just on the conferences and training, I had sent out a training needs analysis to all councillors, and I've received very few of them back, and this will help, I suppose, form the basis of the types of conferences and the types of training then that elected members should be attending. So if people could return them to me, that would be great.
Yes. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair. I know in relation, I hold office in APSE, and on the National Association of Councillors, and it would the same process go ahead that with dates. All I need to submit to Democratic Services any information and any time for it to go through the relevant processes at committee. Also, an update as well. I turned on in session of APSI on Friday, and it's all about artificial intelligence. So once I get information through from that working group, I'll send it through to Democratic Services and for them to circulate. It was a very good presentation. So we'll circulate that to the members.
Yeah, thank you very much, Terry. Yeah, no further comments or questions. Can I get a proposal and seconder? Happy to propose, Terry. Can I get a seconder? Okay. Moving on to item notices of motion. Okay. So as I said, I'll take the emergency notice of motion at the end and we'll deal with the freestanding orders. But item 14 is the notice of motion enhancement of services at the Down. This motion will be heard at council. So Councillor Galbraith, if you can read out your motion, tell us who seconded it and you can speak to it.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. So the motion reads, noting the contents and lack of detail within the Department of Health's hospitals, creating a network for better outcomes document, and expressing its concern that after many years of public campaigning, this council disputes that no recognition is given to the current level 2 status of the Down Hospital, disagrees with the categorisation of the Down as similar to other hospitals with minimal service delivery. This council calls on the Department of Health to consider enhancing the classification of the Down within its future hospital reconfiguration policy, and for the South Eastern Trust to continually review the potential for the safe enhancement of services at the Down. And this is seconded by Councillor Shorten. So, Chair, the health service, which we all know and love, is in crisis. We have all known for many years of the need to transform how we deliver services. With a depleted workforce and lessons having been learned from the COVID pandemic, this has only underscored the need for people to be able to avail of treatment where they need it and when they need it most. Those who have been involved in the campaign for the Down Hospital over the years will know how hard a battle this has been. While often an uphill struggle, those who work so diligently to deliver this community hospital know its value and worth, which goes beyond any financial bottom line. I pay tribute at this time to the Down Community Health Committee, who have ensured that the needs of the Down and those who use the service have remained on the agenda. The Down currently exists as a Level 2 hospital, and in the north, there are currently only 2 Level 2 hospitals, the Down and Lagan Valley, all with specific needs. However, in addressing how hospital services are delivered within their reconfiguration document, the department have changed the status of the Down by categorising it as a local hospital, taken to centres such as the Robinson Hospital, Ballymoney and the Moyle Hospital in Larne. Both are excellent facilities, but very much community care centres. We all know that the Down offers so much more than this. Therefore, we have put forward a suggestion to the Department to consider an additional enhanced category of service for the Down and Lagan Valley. But specifically for this Council, we are concerned with the Down Hospital, so I hope councillors here tonight will endorse this call. Finally, Chair, if the Department of Health needed to be reminded again, let the message go out from this chamber that while we agree with the need for transformation of health, this does not mean the centralisation of health, which has largely been the department's MO for quite some time. We know that Down has so much more to offer, and therefore, we will continue to engage with the Trust to support the potential for the safe enhancement of services at the Down. Thank you.
Thank you, Albrecht. And apologies, I didn't catch you a second. Sorry. Happy to second. Yeah. Yeah, Connor, if you want to hit your light. Councillor Enright.
Chair, I'm looking to make an amendment to this motion. I've sent it around to councillors and to Democratic Services. We're suggesting we take the phrase, this council disputes that no recognition is given to the current level 2 status of the Down Hospital and disagrees with the categorization Down as similar to other hospitals with the minimal service delivery. This council calls on the Department of Health to consider enhancing the classification of the Down within its future hospital configuration policy. We're suggesting we take that out and instead we'll put in, this council calls for the issues around the recruitment of staff to be resolved in a timely manner to provide for the long-promised 24-hour A&E at the Down site. Chair, having been involved in the Down Community Action Committee, Hospital Action Committee for 20 years, Now, I'm aware of the fact, and I also sat on the Trust Finance Committee for 8 years, that there has been a budget for a 24-hour service in the South Eastern Trust for the last decade. And we've been told that they are unable to recruit staff. And this seems to be a problem with A&Es right across Northern Ireland, and it has been a problem actually for decades. And it's extraordinary that after 20 years of waiting, we're only now starting to train medical staff in Derry. And that only because it's been funded by the Republic of Ireland. Chair, the key issue with people in the area in the southeast, in the southeast of County Down, is the lack of a 24-hour A&E in the Downshire site. So, Chair, I'm proposing this motion. As I understand it, David Lee is seconding it. Thank you.
Who seconded that amendment? David. Okay, I know you've slightly jumped the gun there, Cadogan, by emailing an amendment round to all the councillors before it goes to the mover of the motion, who may accept the amendment, which would null and void a vote. But just on your proposal and taking out, waiting information just from Sarah on the validity of what you've said here from the health meeting, from a statement from Motion Coulter, just so that members of the chamber have that information before the mover of the motion decides to accept or not, and then we'll deal with it with a vote. So, Sarah, have you got it there? Sent? Everybody? Okay, if everyone can just take a minute to have a look at the information. Meantime, we'll turn off the air
conditioning. I thought it was too warm.
Okay, just for those who can't don't have the laptop in front of them or get into your emails, a wee bit of order there.
Thank you.
Okay, for information, a special counsel in November 2024, Roisin Coulter advised the following. Ms Coulter confirmed that there were no plans to reopen the Down Hospital Emergency Department, stating that the Bungoa report championed the model to have one major acute hospital at the Ulster Hospital, supported by local hospitals which were lagging badly on the Down. She stated that a consultant-led urgent care model was safer for patients, clinically appropriate and sustainable, for the stress and the need to be honest and clear with the public about the Trust's plans for the Down Hospital site. Proposer and seconder for the amendment. Councillor Galbraith, do you accept the amendment? Yeah, before we go. Yeah, go. Sarah, can you just take down with Councillor Jackson? Yeah, and Taylor. Yeah, Una.
So, just in relation to the levels of the hospitals and then the correlation with local general area and then the A&E, I'm a bit confused about what level 2 actually means. Does that mean bringing back A&E? Because I did see a Facebook post where the motion, I don't know, you didn't write it, but it was suggesting that we were calling for A&E to come back. So I'm just trying to get an idea of where level... I looked for level 2 and I couldn't find it. All I could find was local and general and area. So it's just so we're clear on what the motion is.
Okay, thanks, Una. Councillor Galbraith, if we can clarify level 2 status as clarification request by Councillor Hannan, but also that it was requested to be taken out by Councillor Enright and inserted what he has proposed. If we can get clarification on the meaning of level 2 status.
My understanding of it is that it's the same level as a local hospital. So currently the Down and Lagan Valley are labelled as a local hospital, so level 2 comes under that.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Galbraith. Councillor Hannan. Councillor Hannan, is that clarified? Would you ask?
No, I'm still not. I'm not 100% clear on it, to be honest. Or, like, maybe I missed the end of what you said. So basically, we're looking to enhance the existing model of the Down. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've got a proposal and seconded for amendment from Councillor Enright. Councillor Galbraith, do you accept the amendment?
So I'm not willing to accept taking it away from the actual motion because I believe the actual motion is achievable, but we are willing to accept, well, to include after in the last sentence where it says for the safe enhancement of services, we could include there a 24-hour A&E service at the down.
Okay. And we'll have to deal with one amendment at a time. Okay. So I don't want it to get a bit tricky. We've got a situation here where we've part of amendment may be accepted or will be accepted, but we have to deal with amendments that's there. But before I move to a vote, Cadogan Enright, I want to check. Are you happy to accept the A&E added, or I'm going to move to a vote on the amendment as you proposed?
Sure, the motion as stated doesn't make any sense. It doesn't actually define exactly what they mean by the different classifications of hospital, and they don't give proper guidance on this. It's a nonsense motion, Chair. That's why we replaced the middle of the motion with something that made sense. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, the amendment stands. So we'll have to move to a vote. The amendment wasn't accepted by the mover of the motion, so we're going to have to go to a vote on the amendment. Do it by show of hands. No, we'll have to. We've online as well. If everybody online can turn their cameras on, we can do it by a show of hands. This is on Cadogan's amendment. So Cadogan's amendment is emailed around all councillors, is to take out that chunk and insert Cadogan's amendment. It's not voting on the motion, it's only the amendment. Okay. Just in the interest of time, I know a lot of people trying to switch on the cameras online, but there's a lot of people online, so in the interest of time, we'll move to a roll call. We've two cameras on there. Yeah, do you want to propose an adjournment?
I would propose a couple of minutes to discuss this among our grouping.
Propose a 10-minute adjournment?
Yeah, please, yeah.
Seconded by Councillor Herty. Okay, so everyone content? We'll adjourn the minutes, meeting for 10 minutes. It's now 7:05 if we're back in for quarter past. 20 past.
Quarter past.
Quarter past.
10 minutes.
Okay, the 10-minute adjournment has passed, so that's the meeting back in action. I'm going to give people an opportunity to come in on further points of clarity before going to a vote. So if any further points of clarity of what we're voting on, so people are aware, we're voting on the amendment. I'll take those now. Councillor Sheridan.
Yeah, Chair. I suppose, that first of all, I want to clarify the actual motion and make it truly understandable to councillors. But the motion actually is stating, and if you look at the actual document that is referenced within the motion, what it relates to is that the Down is being associated with other centres or hostels like Bangor, like Ards, like Moy, like Robson Centre, which do not deliver the level of services that the Down today delivers. And really what the motion is aiming to do is to remove the opportunity of the Trust to strip even more services away from the Down if it is being associated to lesser hostels right across the north. I think the suggestion by Councillor Kilbreath in including at the end that 24/7 A&E services be included in the motion rather than remove the substantial motion is the correct course of action. We all accept, and I'm sure all my colleagues in the Downpatrick's and wider area agree, that we would love to see a 24/7 A&E at the Down as we had before. But we also have to be realistic as well in that we need to protect what we have today. And if we remove the wording that is being suggested by Councillor Enright, we're actually reducing the protection that we're being asked to protect. because what we're asking for is that the correct status of the down is acknowledged and that it is more than what is being associated by the other hospitals that are under that categorisation. So I think Councillor Enright suggesting that we, I'm trying to think of the correct word he used, which I don't think was as polite, or of conduct that a councillor should have within this chamber, but I think it's really important that we do not remove the wording of the motion, because just calling for an A&E and dealing with the recruitment, he even said himself, you know, for 20 years in his experience being on all these things, that they've always had recruitment. You go to the Ulster, you go to the Royal, they're having recruitment issues. So for just calling out what he's called out, is not going to deal with it. So is he happy to accept that we don't deal with the status level that is being associated to the down, that we just call for an A&E and actually don't protect the services that the down is delivering today? Because I certainly wouldn't be supporting such a move, because I want to see what is there now, but I certainly want to see the services enhanced in a safe manner and through the proper review process and including the 24/7 as we suggested that we accept. So it's up to Councillor Enright if he wants to scrap, in his opinion, the motion in the completeness that it is and just go for recruitment A&E. But what about all the other services that the Down delivers? Does he not care about that?
Okay, thanks, Councillor Sheridan, for clarity. Councillor Hannan.
Yeah, thank you. And look, I want to thank Councillor Galbraith for tabling a really important motion tonight. And I would put on thanks, or Sinn Féin's thanks to the staff at the Down who are providing a fantastic service to our local community. And especially as Councillor Galbraith referenced the Down community campaign. We are supportive of any proposals that are going to enhance services at the Down Hospital, and we did note with concern that in that document it just had one line really to the Down. And I think that, and I can't speak to the mover of the motion, but the spirit of the motion will be to enhance services, to look at longer hours for urgent care and everything else that goes along with enhancing services. For me and for Sinn Féin, to take out the full body of the motion, it's going to just really, it's not going to work, because as Councillor Sharvin had mentioned, it's going to end up that it's just an A&E issue. And yes, that's important. And yes, we do need to look at that. And the Trust and the Health Minister and the Department of Health and senior leadership need to really get their act together and look at what the community actually wants. But for tonight, for the motion, I think I would agree with Councillor Sharvin that we keep the body of the motion as presented by Councillor Galbraith, and then add in Councillor Enright's. And I just want that to be very, very clear for the optics going out of the chamber tonight, that we're not just asking for A&E, that we're asking for enhancement right across all services.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Hannan. Yeah, before I move to vote, and I just want to outline those questions on the German for 10-minute clarity comes in the back of a vote to remove a chunk of text that people want to know what it meant. Really important people know what they're voting on. Councillor Enright, before I move to a vote on your amendment, do you want to take on any of the comments?
Yes, Chair. There's been a large number of services moved to the Down Hospital over the last number of years, including services of regional importance. The key obstacle to more services being transferred to the Down Hospital is the absence of the promised A&E 24-hour service. Lisburn was not clinically assessed as requiring a 24-hour service in Lagan Valley because they were very close to tertiary-level hospitals in the Belfast area. However, within the reorganisation of the South Eastern Trust, it was agreed that from a clinical point of view, the remote areas around the Down Hospital required a 24-hour A&E, whilst the critical care would, of course, be based in the Ulster. Now, the problem with not having the A&E service we were promised and which is budgeted for in the Down Hospital is that services like mental health can no longer be based in the Down Hospital. And other critical services, mental health in particular, Downpatrick was the centre of mental health excellence for decades until the 24-hour A&E was restricted to daytime only care. So I think we need to focus on what really matters to the local people, being able to have a 24-hour accessible A&E, which will then facilitate the other services which are currently blocked from coming to the Down on the grounds that we don't have an A&E. Thank you, Chair.
to answer my question before I am going to move to a vote, unless it's 8 points of clarity.
Yeah, it is.
Two, but Councillor Enright, to answer the question, you're still proposing to move in the amendment to a vote to take out the body and replace it with your lines. Okay. Very good. On clarity, Gareth?
Yeah, it's on clarity, Chair. Councillor Enright just mentioned in his speech there in relation to regional services moving to the Down. But does he not recognise that in the body of the motion as it is presented by Councillor Kilbreath, that the categorisation of this particular level actually potentially removes some of those regional services from the Down? Because if we are not at the right status or given the right category for the Down, then those regional services may not continue to exist. So would he not agree that the substantial motion does stand and that we include the 24/7 as part of the motion, because then, one, it protects the services in the Down as it is today, we look to enhance it, and that we do include the call for 24/7 A&E being restored.
Thanks, Gareth. Una again, just in clarity.
Yeah, I'm just going to be brief. I'm deeply disappointed in Councillor Enright's approach to this evening. I would implore that he includes the body of the motion, because what we are wanting to do as local representatives is enhance services. I think it's quite dangerous for you to say that without an A&E there's no mental health services in the Down, because that's completely untrue. We only looked now recently that the Restored Services to Shimla Ward in Ward 15, which is a mental health unit for addictions. So I really would implore that you look at what you're doing again as a local representative, because I just think the optics going out of this chamber this evening is that we can't agree on enhancing services in the Down, which is deeply disappointing.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Hanlon. We've had extensive discussion on that. I suppose that's born out of the fact that, Councillor Enright, what you're proposing to remove in your speaking there, you're making the argument to keep, but then proposing and removing the boarding, and that has confused people across the chamber. It hasn't been taken by the mover of the motion to add it on, so I'm going to have to move to a vote on removing that body of the motion on the status of the Down Hospital and inserting about the recruitment and A&E only. So it's for or against Councillor Enright's amendment. Roll call.
Councillor Andrews?
Against.
Councillor Bowsey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
Again.
Councillor Byrne?
Against.
Councillor Campbell?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Feehan?
Against.
Councillor Finn?
Against.
Councillor Galbraith?
Against.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Hanna? Councillor Hart? Councillor Hart? All right. Councillor Hardy? Councillor Howell?
Against.
Councillor Howie?
For.
Councillor Jackson? Councillor Kearns?
Against.
Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor Lee Surgeon?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness? Councillor Mathers? Councillor McAteer?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy?
Against.
Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor Declan Murphy? Against. Councillor Kate Murphy?
Against.
Councillor Selena Murphy?
Against.
Councillor Quinn?
Against.
Councillor Riley? Councillor Rice is absent. Councillor Rowan?
Against.
Councillor Sharvin? Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley is absent. Councillor Treesdale?
Four.
Councillor Young?
Four.
I have 5-4 and 32 against.
Okay, so the amendment falls. Okay, Sarah, I know it's been a while ago, but you have the list of people that were coming in. If we can just put it back in that other. Obviously. And I think the list of people's lights went off. We had a deal with the amendment there.
Oh, right.
People's lights were on. So, Councillor Jackson is first. This speaking on the motion.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the Democrat Unionist Party recognises that the health service is undeniably the most precious of our public services. There is a responsibility on all of us to work together to make health and social care in Northern Ireland a success and ensure services and structures effectively meet the needs
of our changing population. As a party, we stand ready to work alongside the Health Minister, clinicians and staff, local communities and patients to improve and transform outcomes for all. No hospital should close, every square inch of the state can be used, and no services should be removed without strong local consultation and input. However, the process of reform must be undertaken as part of a strategic plan. We are concerned that the Department has consulted on a framework for hospitals that has been produced in isolation from other challenges facing our health and care system. Given that the effectiveness of our hospitals, as well as patient flow, is directly correlated with the situation in primary, social and domiciliary care, this is akin to asking the public to embark on a journey of change without knowing the destination or having a clear understanding of the expected benefits for them and their families. Reconfiguration of services cannot be treated in isolated silos. For our hospitals to reach their full potential, the entire system must work well. The Minister must ensure there is a sustained focus on fixing adult social care and collaboration to prevent unnecessary hospital admissions and ensure patients can be discharged from a hospital setting without unnecessary delay. Inequalities in general practice provision and community-based care, both in terms of access and the range of services provided, for example, rollout of multidisciplinary teams, hospital-at-home services, are contributing to preventable hospital visits and impeding earlier intervention. Long waits outside emergency departments crystallise the pressures facing the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service, and in the absence of plans to address delayed discharge, any reconfiguration of hospital provision that requires patients to travel further or transfer between trust sites will simply exacerbate the situation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Councillor Hanlon.
I think I've made Sinn Féin's position very clear, but just to reiterate that this is an opportunity for the Minister, the Department of Health and the South Eastern Trust senior leadership to have the opportunity now to bring forward transformation that's going to work to enhance the delivery of services, and they must engage in a constructive way with staff and local community and campaign groups. I am going to note my disappointment with the Lions tonight that they have not taken up the opportunity to actually have the Council's support for enhancing the hospital services.
Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. Very brief, there's been quite a bit of debate on the issue. The Down Hospitalists, there's always been very strong community support for the Down Hospital. You've seen that through the various demonstrations that were held over the years whenever services were under threat. And it's very clear that it's not only an important but a vital part of our health services state in the district. And as elected representatives, as a council body, we should obviously take every opportunity that we can to try and make those necessary representations to the department, particularly as we go through this important process of looking at the hospital networks. We should take the opportunity to make as strong representations as we can to try and protect and enhance the delivery of services at sites like the Down Hospital, and happy to support, happy to support the proposal brought forward by Councillor Gillard tonight.
Yeah, thank you, David. Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, Chair. I want to propose an amendment that at the point of South Eastern Trust to continue to review the potential for the safe enhancement of services, including a 24/7 A&E service at the Down. So what was suggested by Councillor Kilbreath in his response to Councillor Enright's amendment, given that was not accepted, I would propose that we do include that wording, because as it has been mentioned around this chamber, particularly Councillor Hanlon, we are fully in support of a 24/7 A&E being restored at the Down, and I certainly would not want any other message going out of this chamber to say to the contrary of that, so I'd like to propose that amendment.
Yep. Councillor Galbraith, willing to accept the second amendment?
Yeah, happy to second amendment.
Motion to be adopted as the amendment outlined, adding the A&E onto the end of it. Okay, no more comments or speakers. Everybody in agreement with the motion as it stands? The amended motion as it stands?
Yes.
That's the debate. No, no dissent? Okay. Councillor Galbraith, do you want to sum up?
It's not obligatory. I'm not going to keep you too long, but obviously I want to thank everybody who has supported the motion tonight. It is a very important one, as Councillor Andre has mentioned. You know, there's been 20 years of a campaign here, but unfortunately he didn't see fit to support that this evening. So I hope tomorrow goes well for you, Councillor Onright, whenever the Chief Whip has a wee word with you. But yeah, thanks very much. Thanks very much for the support.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Galbraith. So that motion has passed. Okay, moving on to item 15, a notice of motion on the removal of red telephone boxes. This motion will be heard here at Council. In light of the nature of the warden as an imminent decision, the consultation period to end this month, which send it to committee, and coming back to full council would miss the consultation period. So in light of that, through Stan and others, I prefer it to be heard tonight at council. So Councillor Lewis, if you want to read your motion, tell us who's seconding it.
Thank you. Chair, I don't know how we're going to go from that to my motion about red telephone boxes, but I will certainly try my best. This council notes with concern the impact of BT's decision to remove a number of red telephone boxes across the district. These iconic telephone boxes hold historical and cultural significance within our communities. Their removal would represent a loss to the character of our towns and their villages. The council further notes the imminent removal of these telephone boxes and expresses support for their retention in prominent locations where feasible. In light of this, the council seeks to explore options for the adoption of these telephone boxes for community use through BT's Adopt a Kiosk scheme at a limited charge. The council calls for an investigation into the potential repurposing of these telephone boxes to serve the community needs, including the use as a defib stations, book exchanges, or local information hubs, and urges engagement with BT and relevant stakeholders to facilitate this process. Chair, these phone boxes are something small yet instantly recognisable. The iconic red phone box add to the historic and picturesque nature of our towns and our villages. They are often seen in movies, postcards, or in tourist souvenirs. These bright red booths are more than a place to make a call. They are an iconic piece of local history, which indeed local communities are often very proud of, keep and maintain and look after them. The first red phone box, known as the K2, was designed in 1924 by Sir Giles Gilbert Scott. It was an elegant bold painted in bright red to stand out on the street. Over the years, newer models like the K6 have become more common and are what we all know and see today. At their peak, there was over 90,000 red phone boxes across the UK. They were a vital lifeline before mobiles, but as technology has moved on, the need for such of these phone boxes has passed, and many have fallen into this repair. Luckily, local people has realised the cultural and historic importance of these, and today thousands of these red phone boxes have been kept, preserved, and have been transformed into its libraries and our galleries and the Celtic and Dave Fib stations. However, it is simply to say that because we have now mobiles, that they are no longer is used. Yes, in some cases, such as the phone box at Wood Grange, that there is a limited, if no, mobile signal, and indeed, that these might be on an emergency is lifeline, or indeed, they are sometimes used for people who cannot make a call at home, such as to ring as Women's Aid or a suicide prevention line. So it's not simply good enough to say that because of the phone box isn't being regularly used, that they may not be in place if somebody vitally needs to make that call. In 2024, BT identified 23 of these payphones across our district, and the council has been sent a letter as part of that consultation. I am asking that the council look at this and introduce a report as to how we can help local communities that indeed want to keep their phone box as or certainly repurpose their phone box, and in a situation where the box is already being is looked after and maintained and then kept, at the council help them by adopting it through the adopt a kiosk scheme, but also to make clear that the council should help by responding to the consultation in those areas that the local community vaguely want to see that the box kept. My motion's being seconded by Councillor Isaac. Thank you very much, Chair.
Councillor Bazzi on seconding the motion. Yeah, wish to speak. Go ahead.
Seconding this excellent motion, my Councillor Lewis, I commend him for his efforts in saving and encouraging appreciation of the iconic red phone boxes dotted throughout the UK. Renowned Jubilee kiosks were installed by the post office between 1936 and 67. 20 of these still exist in Newry Morne and Down District Council. I may have missed others. Phone boxes with a Tudor crown on them can be dated pre-1953. Out of the 20 red phone boxes in our district, 6 are pre-1953, 9 are listed, and 9 are owned by BT, all of which are being proposed for removal. The 20 that are in our area, some stats on DAA breakdown. So Newry has 1 at Abbey Way, Glebe Gullion 2 at Meek and George Pass. There was 1 at the Fountain in Bessbrook, but it was removed about 15 years ago. Rockleave has 3, Warm Point, Valley Holland and McGrathen's Corner. Bourne has 3 at Lisnacree at Kilcoo, Ballymartin. St. Patrick has 4, Bally, Ardglass, Churchtown and Strangford. And Sleeve Group has an impressive 7, Castle Welland, Spa, Drumcara, Guinness, Drumarod, Woodgrange and Ballycobeg. And sadly, Rowallan has none.
Yep. Thank you, Councillor Bowsey, and thanks for breakdown of that information. Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. I'll keep it brief. Yeah, no, we're more than happy to support the motion brought forward by Councillor Lewis. I know it's something that's impacted the community in the area in which I represent, especially in Strangford. There's a strong community bond with the kiosk that actually settles in that village. So we are more than happy to support that motion. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Philip. Councillor Fruisdale.
Thanks, Chair. We're more than happy to support this motion, but I'm a bit concerned because you didn't mention the one that's in Newcastle and Tully Brannigan, so I do hope it's still there because I helped a group buy it. But and this is where Councillor Lewis's motion might come in quite useful. We've had a real snag with the... They're very specific about the red paint, the type of red that you have to use, and also the steel frames for the windows. We need a welder to help fix some of them because they're corroded. So to bring that forward to help groups refurbish the boxes, they want it as an information point and a book swap. So that would be great. So thank you very much for bringing this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Frizzell. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. As Councillor Lewis' motion states, you know, these red telephone boxes are an important part of our local heritage and certainly add character to any town or village or road that they're situated in. Some of them are located in my area, as Councillor Bowsey had stated there now. And it is regrettable that BT are seeking to remove them from, remove this piece of history really from these areas across our district. And if we as a council, you know, can find a way to protect and repurpose them, you know, we should look to do that. So hopefully through this motion we can enter into some form of engagement with BT to try and find a resolution to that. So very happy to support Councillor Lewis's motion as it stands.
Thank you, David. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. The SDLP fully supports the motion. I suppose not to be over dramatic, like, but imagine your mobile network was down and we all didn't have any signal to get on or ring anything, or you know, Alan to ring for a Chinese on a Friday night. You'd have to go to a phone booth and ring, because the landline, like, how many of us actually have a physical phone? Now you don't even need a physical phone for your broadband, your fibre. It automatically comes into the house. So, you know, there is instances, and I think part of the reasons why the phone booth was also created was that there was access for those that needed it, but also that in a worst case scenario, you would still be able to reach out and communicate to people. And the apologies, Councillor Lewis, if I didn't pick this up, but I take it, are we going to write to BT to express to them that we are doing this piece of work as a council and ask that they extend, you know, the date of any removal and ask them to halt that? So say BT, look, for any that's in Newry-Mourne Down, could you halt any removal until we as a council have actually completed the exercise that we want to do? So I don't know if that's been asked, but if we can include that.
Happy for that to be as part of your motion. It's just, I suppose, it's an explanation of your motion rather than an amendment. Okay, so everybody content that the council writes to BT asking them to withhold of the 90-day period that they put on the phone boxes across our district. And obviously a piece of work will be done through the committee on that, at least we put our views forward. Okay, everyone in agreement? Okay, Councillor Lewis, do you want to sum up?
Yeah, just to say thank you, Chair, for ensuring that the motion's heard tonight, and thank you to colleagues. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Okay, that motion has passed. So, moving on to item 16, notice of motion on paramilitary groups, transitions from violence and crime. This motion will be heard tonight at Council. The motion's proposed by Councillor Howey. Tierna, if you want to read out your motion, tell us who's seconded it and you can speak to it.
Yes, thank you, Chair. My motion will be seconded by Councillor Truesdale, so I'll just read it out. That this Council categorically opposes from the UK and Irish governments to appoint an independent expert to scope out a new process of engagement for to bring about paramilitary group transitions to disbandment. Agrees that more than 25 years after signing of the Good Friday Agreement, there is no place for paramilitarism in our society, and that such groups should either immediately disband or face a robust law enforcement approach like other organised crime gangs. Welcomes the work of the Executive Programme on Paramilitarism and Organised Crime, and agrees to write to the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland and the Taoiseach to call for them to abandon plans for this paramilitary transition scoping and engagement exercise and reinvest the associated funding in law enforcement approaches to paramilitary activity. Just to speak to the motion, so I was born in 2000, I'm after the Good Friday Agreement, and I was very lucky to grow up in a post-conflict society and not have to experience the violence and terrorism of my parents and grandparents. And with those eyes, I can say that paramilitarism and violence has no place in our society, not now and nor ever should it. Communities across Northern Ireland and indeed across this whole island have suffered enough. Paramilitaries are a scourge in our society. Many of them are involved in organised crime, intimidation and coercion. So why should these groups be afforded any sort of engagement when they are an affront to the peace and progress that has been made throughout my lifetime?
The idea that we should now appoint an independent expert to engage with paramilitary groups, rather than reinforcing a clear and lawful path to disbandment, sends entirely the wrong message. It risks legitimising those who continue to exploit and threaten our communities, especially our young people. What these groups need is not another round of engagement, but a firm line. They must choose to disband immediately or face the full force of law enforcement, just as other criminal organisations would. We owe that clarity and resolve to the victims and survivors of paramilitary violence. This council must send a clear message, one that supports peace, justice and accountability. And that means writing to the Secretary of State and the Taoiseach to oppose these proposals and calling for these funds to be redirected to robust frontline action against paramilitary activity. Enough is enough, and we must stand up for our communities who deserve to live free from fear and control.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Harry. Councillor Truesdale.
I don't need to speak to
motion. Second it, just.
Yeah. Second it, yeah.
Great, thank you. For 30. Just Phil, if you want to
interlude. Go ahead, man. Thank you, Councillor. Yeah, I'd like to propose an amendment to the motion so that it reads, this council notes the proposals from the British and Irish governments to appoint an independent expert to scope out new processes of engagement to bring about paramilitary group transition to disbandment, agrees that more than 25 years after the signing of the Good Friday Agreement that there is no place for paramilitarism in our society, and that such groups should either immediately disband or face a robust law enforcement approach like other organised crime gangs. Welcomes the work of the Executive Programme on Paramilitarism and Organised Crime and calls on the British and Irish governments to set out a short and strictly limited timeline for the scoping and engagement exercise. I have no doubt that most of us here will agree with many of the points in the Alliance motion, that all of us here will agree with the overall sentiment of the Alliance motion, but I don't think it makes any sense to limit our approaches when it comes to tackling paramilitarism. We're almost 30 years now past the Good Friday Agreement, and despite what they may claim, no armed group that exists today has any political purpose or legitimacy. Armed groups that exist and remain active today are doing nothing more than using the conflict of the past as a cloak to cover up their true purpose, which is organised criminality. So be absolutely clear here, they must go out of existence. Their former members must abide by the key Mitchell principles of resolving political issues through solely democratic and exclusively peaceful means. However, we should not limit ourselves to a single approach. Any exit strategy should not involve any form of financial inducement or reward, but the twin-track approach to tackling paramilitary and armed groups remains a vital strategy. It incorporates a comprehensive criminal justice response alongside the targeting of deep-rooted socio-economic conditions in areas of high deprivation that cultivate the conditions for such groups to emerge. Now, the Independent Reporting Commission has put forward in its past three reports a recommendation to introduce the concept of group transition. It also believes that that approach should be augmented by introducing an external trusted individual to conduct a scoping exercise with those groups within a tight time frame and devoid of any financial inducements. This initiative by the two governments should proceed, and while there are no guarantees of success, it's worth pursuing it within the tight time frame that has been outlined. These groups, it should be made clear to them that this initiative represents a genuine but final attempt to facilitate a process of long overdue transition away from all armed groups. I have no doubt that most of us will agree with many of the points in the Alliance motion, will agree with the overall sentiment. When it comes to tackling paramilitarism, we should not limit ourselves to a single approach. The time-bound initiative that is proposed by the Irish and British governments should not be dismissed out of hand. Rather, it should be tested. And that's all that's being asked for here. We have little to lose, and potentially a lot to gain, particularly for those communities that are tortured day and daily by these gangs. So I would urge members to support the Sinn Féin amendment.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Harty. And before we go to other speakers on this, I just get clarity on the amendment. Just for information, amendments to motions cannot be cannot negate the motion. Cannot be the complete opposite. So you can't go from agreeing with something to disagreeing.
Yeah, sure.
So we're just checking on that because it states to abandon the plans, and then Councillor Harty's motion is stating to continue, even albeit in the timely end. But I just want to get clarity on that.
Chair, standing orders would say that you can't have a direct negative. We're trying to read it to see, is it a direct negative? I think it looks like the Alliance Party are asking for it to be abandoned, and Sinn Féin are asking for it to be sped up, which would in effect be a direct negative. Just bear with me 2 minutes to get the standing order. Am I interpreting that right, by the way, just from...
Yeah, you can't have a direct negative. It's just, I suppose, the mover of the motion, whether they accept it, I understand the sentiment of... Just let us clear this up before... I'm going to take all the speakers in.
Yeah, can I...
And then we come back to the amendment, because we need to be clear on that. Yeah, before you come in, Councillor Finn, Councillor Howie, put on your light.
I was just going to ask if the amendment can be circulated, just so sure. that we can all view it.
Martin, can you circulate the amendment there, please? Just take a minute before we go to the speakers.
Is it all right if we take a 5 minute adjournment to review?
Is that a proposal?
Yeah.
Proposal. Can I get a second there for that? Okay, Councillor Finn, everybody happy to take another 5 minutes? Yeah. Okay, is everyone back in the room? Yeah, we were recording Saturday again, sir. Oh, you forgot to stop it. Okay, all conversations in the breakout. No, okay. Okay, so after the 10-minute adjournment to check if it was a direct negative, the amendment that was put forward, I've got some clarity on that. I'm going to ask Una. About are you still moving the amendment? Sorry, Martin. Sorry, apologies.
I'm content that spoke with the officials there. I'm content that it is. So we're in accordance with standing orders going to withdraw the amendment. Unfortunately, due to the wording of the Alliance motion, we would not be able to support it. But I would make clear that we fully agree with the sentiment of it. We just don't believe that removing one of the avenues for tackling paramilitarism is a sensible approach.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Hertie. Yeah, Councillor, do you want to hit your light? Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. Listen, I want to state on behalf of myself and my party, obviously, that at the outset that there is no place for paramilitary gangs. Paramilitary crime gangs, there never was, and they should disband immediately. They have had a negative, of course, of ripping our communities in Northern Ireland. And I am aware that the Alliance Party submitted a very similar motion that's been presented this evening at the Assembly recently. And I know at that time my party felt actually the sentiment of the motion was premature. And it is important to state that we do not believe it's premature in the sense that we do not want to get rid of paramilitaries, but because we obviously, as I've already stated, we want them to disband immediately. But in the sense of its intent, and I believe that's something the Justice Minister, who is also leader of the Alliance Party, appeared to concur with in a response she gave to my party colleague, Colin Crawford, when she had stated it would be premature of me to make any commitments regarding engagement with the interlocutor until further clarity is available. So it appears to me that the Justice Minister was indicating, let's find out exactly what they're planning, and then take time to make a decision after that. We had suggested some amendments at that time, and that was based on our opinion through engagement with communities and the police. And one thing I want to say, as this process does go forward, that there can be no concessions to incentivise any transitioning. Nobody should be or can be above the law, and turning the blind eye to any past crimes cannot form any part of any new process that aims to bring about paramilitary groups transition to disbandment. and the proposal by the UK and Irish governments to appoint an interlocutor to see whether there could be a process. It's not the start of a process. It's right to wait and see whether that will bear fruit, while at the same time ensuring that agencies like the Paramilitary Crime Task Force, the PSNI, the National Crime Agency, and indeed HMRC, that they're allowed to continue their work as well through any process that's taken forward. And, you know, it is vitally important as it goes forward that there isn't any incentives, because if there was, my party certainly wouldn't be supporting that. And I know that Justice Minister, she does have a political advisory group that she, you know, which is useful to have and can shape that scope and exercise. But I think we cannot be in a position in 5 or 10 years' time where we're asking the same question, how do we get rid of them? Do we need to disband immediately? And I hope we can see progress on that immediately, but sooner rather than later, at the very least. So thanks, Chair.
Councillor Jackson.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, the Democratic Unionist Party recognises that political parties, executive departments and the criminal justice system have a collective responsibility to robustly challenge the existence of paramilitary organisations. It remains our position that where there is evidence that any individual is a member of a prescribed organisation or is otherwise involved in criminal activity, that individual should face the full rigour of the law. Paramilitaries have no place in our society. The Democratic Unionist Party is clear that those in these groups who are engaging in criminality, intimidation and oppressing their communities should not just stop but leave the scene entirely. There is consensus across this chamber that paramilitaries must go away, and that stands in stark contrast to the diverse range of views on how this can and should be achieved. We are extremely mindful of how such proposals around group transition impact upon victims who have suffered at the hands of terrorists in Northern Ireland. There are those in our ranks on these very benches who live with the scars of this each and every day. However, it is also the case that there is a range of views, including among victims and survivors, on the way forward. It is clear that simply wishing that paramilitaries and the organised crime gangs that operate in this space did not exist has not worked. Therefore, we do see merit in the government's decision to act on the IRC's recommendation that an independent, time-bound exercise should be taken forward to scope out the potential and explore what might be involved in a process of group transition. Let us give the independent expert appointed the time and space to conduct their work. Crucially, part of this scoping exercise will be to gauge levels of support for such a process, and we would expect this to capture not just the appetite for engagement by paramilitary organisations, but those impacted or victimised by their unacceptable activities. We are also clear that the concept of transition, whether applicable to an individual or organisation, can only occur where that individual or organisation is fully committed to leaving their past behind. That is a voluntary act that requires their cooperation. It is admittedly an uncomfortable reality, but the Justice Minister cannot close her eyes to it. We recognise the need for caution and safeguards to avoid any perception that transition rewards paramilitaries. The DUP is clear that no public body or publicly funded organisation should be acting in a way that sustains or assists criminal activities such as extortion. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Jackson. Other comments? Okay. We dissent in the chamber, obviously, the motion. So will we do it by a roll call with people online? And this is on the motion for or against the motion as tabled by Councillor Howie.
Okay, Councillor Andrews?
Abstain.
Councillor Boise?
Against.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Brennan's online.
Speaker's on. Paul?
Councillor Byrne?
Abstain.
Councillor Campbell?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Feehan?
Abstain.
Councillor Finn?
Abstain.
Councillor Galbraith?
Abstain.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
Yes.
Councillor Hannah? Councillor Hart? Councillor Hardy? Councillor Hoyle?
Against.
Councillor High?
For.
Councillor Jackson? Councillor Kearns?
Against.
Councillor Larkin? Councillor Larkin. Councillor Lee Searchinger.
Four.
Councillor Lewis.
I'm to take that hand.
Councillor McGuinness. Councillor Mathers. Councillor McAteer.
Abstain.
Councillor McAvoy.
Against.
Councillor O'Hare.
Against.
Councillor Declan Murphy. Councillor Kate Murphy.
Against.
Councillor Selena Murphy.
Against.
Councillor Quinn.
Against.
Councillor Riley. Councillor Rice is absent. Councillor Rowan.
Against.
Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Taylor.
Against.
Councillor Tunley is absent. Councillor Traysdale.
Four.
Councillor Young. Councillor Larkin online.
Larkin's against online.
So we have 6 for, 23 against, and 8 abstentions.
Yes, so motion falls. That motion falls, and as the motion isn't adopted, there's no summing up on it. So we're moving on to the next motion, which is item 17. Notice of motion, fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty and air quality management areas, understanding order 16.1.6. This will be referred to the S&E committee. So Councillor Truesdale, if you want to read out your motion and tell us who's seconded.
Recognising Northern Ireland's commitment to achieve net zero by 2050 and Nuri Monaghan's previous motion recognising a climate emergency, Council will endorse the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty, an initiative to secure an international and legally binding treaty to phase out fossil fuels, and will write to the Northern Ireland Executive urging them to support this initiative. In line with this commitment, it will also review the effectiveness of the Council's air quality management areas and whether the number of air quality monitor stations can be expanded throughout the district. And Councillor Enright will be seconding.
Okay, thank you. And that will go to the next S&E committee. Okay, moving on to item 18, notice of motion on the cost of living crisis. The motion will be heard tonight at Council. So, Councillor Hanlon, if you want to read out your motion, tell us who's seconded it, you can speak to.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It's going to be seconded by Councillor McGuinness. So, notice of motion, this Council recognises the cost of living crisis continues to have a deep impact on workers and families and our most vulnerable, acknowledges the planned cuts announced by the British Government to the welfare benefit system are an attack on the most vulnerable in our community, and we must stand together against them. Notes the concern that since coming into office that this British Government has targeted the most vulnerable by cutting their winter fuel payment and entitlement to personal independence payment. I just note on the motion that I think it's maybe spell checked itself to something else there. So can I speak to the motion then?
Yeah.
Okay. So in voicing our opposition to the cuts, this Council will publicly outline our opposition as the voice of our citizens. We will write to the British Government outlining our opposition and calling for them to reverse the decision, and we will actively engage with groups and organisations working in this field to give public expression of our opposition to the cuts. In yet another callous act, the British Government has cut billions worth of support for those who are sick and disabled. It's a cynical, shocking and disgraceful attack on the most vulnerable people in our society who need and deserve support. Austerity is a political choice. If money can be found for weapons of war and mass destruction, then money can and should be found to support people into employment whilst protecting those who are unable. It's another blow after previous cuts by Labour since taking up office, including the winter fuel payments for pensioners. Be it the Tories or Labour in power, it's clear their interest lies with the wealthy and elite and not those in our society who are struggling through no fault of their own. Since entering Downing Street, this Labour government has led an all-out assault on the elderly, family farms, small businesses and now the disabled. It once again highlights the need to build a new and united Ireland where decisions are made in the best interest of workers, families and the vulnerable in our communities. The Communities Minister needs to make it clear to the British Government that we are opposed to these measures, particularly given these cuts will have a disproportionate impact here in the North.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor McGuinness. Happy to second, yeah?
Yeah, happy to second, yeah.
Thank you, Una. Councillor Finn?
Yeah, Councillor, I'd like to...
start by thanking Councillor Hannan. Did that? Oh, is it?
Is that okay now?
Yeah. Doesn't bother me. Council, I'd like to start by firstly thanking Councillor Hannan for bringing this motion to Council, given the impact that this decision will have for so many of the most vulnerable across our district. Like many others in this chamber, I work in a constituency office and spend time supporting constituents who come to us for assistance at their most difficult times, particularly with PIP forms. Already incredibly distressed by a lengthy process, they've been plunged into even more anxiety following the announcement a number of weeks ago. To be clear, those who are receiving welfare support should not have to bear the brunt of UK government brutal cuts that they are using to stabilise the economy. These decisions will cause particular concern in Northern Ireland, where we have higher numbers of people relying on welfare support. The reasons for this are complex, but not helped by the decline in our public services and standards of living over recent years. Further to this, at a time when we see obscene wealth concentrated in the hands of so few, and while large corporations underpay tax, this to so many feels like a massively poor choice. We support the asks outlined in this motion and would like to add an amendment to strengthen the asks coming from this council. While I think it's fair to say that nobody expects the executive to mitigate the estimated £150 million to cover these costs, it cannot wash their hands of this situation. Many of the proposed changes will not come into effect imminently, by an important time to work on and put mitigations into place. Following years without an executive in place, ministers must now do all they can while we work to press the UK government to change their tact. It is my belief that at the very least we can do is expect exploration of anything and everything we can do to help vulnerable people in our society. The amendment will come after reverse this decision, and I'm happy to paste it into the chat so that people can read. But do I need to read the amendment out? Following decision, commits to writing to the First and Deputy First Minister asking them to lobby the UK government to reverse changes that will negatively impact vulnerable people. Further commits to writing to the Minister for Communities to prepare, with support from executive colleagues, a business case for a mitigation package which provides protections for current and future claimants from reductions in social security entitlements outlined in the Pathways to Work Green Paper. I will paste that into Teams chat.
Have you a second for the amendment?
Yes, Councillor Andrews.
Yeah. We need a few minutes for that to be pasted in. I'll take a minute for...
I can email it also if that...
Yeah. Sarah's going to email it to... Well, to all councillors if it's not accepted. Just take the list, Councillor Frisdale, Riley and Taylor down.
Right, can I just check, Councillor Finn, are you content to keep the end of it in? Yeah.
Okay. In the list of speakers, and I have to deal with the amendment first. Right on it.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks Councillor Finn for the amendment. Sinn Féin will have no issue with that amendment. We just want to state categorically that that this lies with the British government, and just to make sure that in the amendment that the business case is going to are for the British government as well, that you know, the fault doesn't lie with the executive, it's with the Brits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of all that. Councillor Finn.
Yeah, I just think it is really important, and I really appreciate Sinn Féin accepting that amendment, because I do think we have an executive in place. They need to take responsibility. There are things that ministers can do, and I'm just really pleased that that's going to be taken into account, because it's really important that our executive does some work on this, as well as the British government, who are both responsible.
Yeah, so that amendment has been accepted. So the motion reads as amended. Yeah, Councillor Truesdale.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Hanlon, for bringing this. We agree with everything that you've said. The cost of living crisis requires immediate action from the Executive and Westminster to tackle this crisis. I actually wanted to ask if you would consider adding something that Councillor Finn already picked up on, which would be calling the UK government not just to reverse the cuts, but to increase taxes for the super wealthy as an alternative means of generating revenue that doesn't take away support from those who need it.
Is that an amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Have you got a...
I didn't really know you were coming in this month.
Okay, have you got a seconder for that?
Councillor Young. Okay.
Councillor Young. Okay, Councillor Hanlon, an amendment to add increased tax on the super wealthy rather than hitting the most vulnerable in our society. Councillor Truesdale, can we get the exact wording of the amendment? Is it to look... Oh, there, okay.
Withdraw, though. Withdraw.
Chair, for clarity, is that just to be added to the end of the notice of motion?
Elena, I've heard of it.
Yeah, that sounds right. Just a few seconds to read. Okay. Do you have a chance to look at that? Yeah. Good. Accept it. So the motion reads as amended. Councillor Riley. It's taken by the proposal of the motion. It doesn't go to a vote. Okay, Councillor Riley.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Chairman, our group largely agrees with the sentiment involved in the motion. We would like to point out that our MP in Westminster, where these decisions are made in that chamber, actually spoke brilliantly on Carla Lockhart. And she did emphasise the fact that under the new provisions, if you have a mental health condition that qualified you for safe PIPs, that it would be almost impossible to get that. Now, how many times has mental health been brought up in this chamber? And those aspects will have to be changed. And I know that Carla is working with a lot of Labour MPs who feel very disaffected from this proposal. And hopefully we will be able to manage amendments to it and get a better outcome. Chairman, of the last 2 million people that come to the United Kingdom, only 16% of them work and the rest are on benefits. And that is not sustainable. It's just not sustainable. And of the 5 million, or the 5 billion that the Chancellor has suggested she'll save by cutting benefits for UK citizens, it won't even pay for the hotel costs for the migrants that are coming into the country, which is estimated to be $7 billion by 2027, whenever this legislation is meant to come into place. So, Chairman, it's unfair. It is totally unfair to penalise born and bred people who have lived in the United Kingdom all their lives, contributed to that system, built that system from past generations, for them to be hammered to only for that money saved to be wasted on schemes that should just not be happening in our country. It's totally unfair on the people who have contributed into that system. So we will be supporting the motion, but it's very important that the Alliance and the SDLP, who have MPs that attend Westminster, work with the DUP to try and get the best deal possible for everybody in this country. On your end, too.
Yeah, thank you, Henry. David, Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair. Thanks for that, Chair. Listen, Chair, I support the general sentiments of the motion as well. I work as a welfare support officer, so I'm dealing with people, some of the most vulnerable in our society on a daily basis, helping them with benefits and that type of advice as well. So I think it's clear that the continued changes that there has been to the welfare system over recent years have done nothing but cause fear and despair to the most vulnerable in our communities, and the recent announcement by the government has done nothing to alleviate those pressures that they would feel. So I think it's clear that anyone that's in receipt of disability benefits that deserve some stability and a level of support that allows them to live their lives without the constant fear and challenge of what the government proposes to do here. So I certainly feel in my party, and I know that Robin Swan again has been working hard on this in Westminster. He has been pushing for a review on those decisions that have been recently made by...
Yes, can we please show a bit of respect to the person?
Made by the government in recent times, and they have some consideration for the impact that these changes will have on those who face daily challenges, and some of the challenges are probably unimaginable to most of us as well. So, sentiments are the most nice, certainly support.
Yeah, thank you, David. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair, and I do welcome the main aims of this motion, and I'm fully in support of all those impacted by welfare reform. In Rowallan, and I'm sure all other DEAs the same, I do a lot of work on the ground with constituents, with PIP benefits and everything. And this past week or two, the fear and the trepidation of the people who are impacted upon by mental health in particular, the way those forms were constructed, and I think the forms will be constructed even more, it'll be like climbing Mount Everest for people to get over the necessary points in the benefit restructure that we've seen. And it's, in my own opinion, do you know what it is? It's a Labour government. And I thought with Labour coming in, party of the people, for the people, all I can see is they're like Robin Hoods. They're robbing the poor to stoke the rich. I know that point was touched on earlier. My take is, it's fighting for the people and ensuring that they get a fair deal, not getting impacted upon. And the way the system is, the way the forms are designed, etc., they need to go back to the Scottish model. And the Scottish model was a better system to operate with PIP and welfare claimants who needed help the most. So in my own case, I will be supporting the motion. And for the many people I've worked over the years and in the weeks and months to come, who will be impacted with the hatchet job that's coming down the line. Thank you, Chair, and thanks for bringing this motion as well.
Terry, Councillor Bowsey.
Just want to commend Councillor Hamden for the motion. And I also just want to commend our own Communities Minister, Gordon Lyons, MLA, who recently announced £17 million to ensure every pensioner in Northern Ireland receives some energy support this winter. £100 will be given to all pensioners, all pensioner households who had their winter fuel payment removed by the Labour government, otherwise known as the SDLP's sister party.
Okay. Of course, I didn't think he had a funny bone, but I'm wrong there. It's quite funny. Any other comments across the chamber? Nope. Yeah, noted, Harry. Noted. Okay, everybody in agreement with the motion? Yep, unanimous. Okay, Una, do you want to sum up?
Yeah, just very briefly, and I appreciate the support of the Chamber. Maybe don't agree with all the comments, but I'm not going to get into it now. And one of the things that I've picked up from the constituency office is that people aren't even going to apply. They're saying to me, what's the point in applying, because I'm not going to get anything, which is a very, very worrying trend, that people will be left even more destitute. So they've got to the point where everybody knows, or it's a general trend, that they're turned down first time. But if they're not even going to come in through the door and actually apply for it, where's that going to leave vulnerable people who really are struggling? And I do welcome that the winter fuel payment was mitigated against. I think that's something that should be acknowledged, and well done for that. And just thanks for the support.
Okay. Thank you, Una. That motion has passed. Okay, moving on to item 19, notice motion of outdoor adventure revamp of Delamont Country Park. And that motion, understanding of 16.16, will be referred to the ERT committee. I think it was wrongly put out that it was going to the AHC committee. ERT deals with this topic. So if the councillor Bosey can read the motion and tell us who's seconded it, and we'll go to
this council recognises the magnificent 200-acre landscape of Delmont Country Park on the shores of Strangford Loch and its untapped tourism potential. Its untapped tourism potential close to the Greater Belfast area acknowledges that following the success of the miniature railway 25 years ago, it is important that the council invest in innovative new experiences, particularly for the secondary school age. Calls for market research to be conducted into the potential of Delmont being home to a major new outdoor adventure that utilises its scenic drumlins and shoreline, and thus would make Delmont a landmark tourist attraction for the north of the district. Seconded by Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Councillor Lizzie. And that will be referred to ERT committee. Okay, moving to item 20, notice of motion on Newry Canal. That motion will be heard at council tonight. Councillor Feehan. Read out your motion, tell us who's seconding it, and you can stick your motion.
Thank you, Chair. So the motion reads that this council reaffirms its commitment to the regeneration of Newry Canal to realise its full potential as a key recreation, tourism, biodiversity and economic development asset. Council will write to the following local authorities and statutory bodies in pursuit of best practice learnings and to request information sharing on waterway strategies and management plans. For Mana and Oma District Council, Leitrim County Council and Cavan County Council in relation to the Shannon Erin Waterway, Derry City and Strabane District Council regarding the Foyle Maritime Festival, Birmingham City Council around the Birmingham Canal Navigations and Waterways Ireland. Council will write to the following bodies to request a breakdown of their funding priorities and to identify synergies between funding opportunities and the regeneration of Newry Canal, the Shared Island Unit, the Special EU Programmes Body and the UK Shared Prosperity Fund. Chairperson, I am asking this council to imagine a future where Newry Canal, the oldest summit-level canal in Ireland or Britain, is not just a relic of the past, but a driver of economic renewal, tourism and community wellbeing. A place where heritage propels opportunity and where the canal once again becomes the lifeblood of a thriving Newry. We already know what is possible. The regeneration of Birmingham's canals turned industrial decline into economic vibrancy, and closer to home, the Shannon Erin Waterway has shown how thoughtful investment in our waterways can boost local economies, support small business, and enhance the everyday lives of those who live in the surrounding area. Newry Canal has that same transformational potential. With targeted and strategic investment, we can create new greenways, entice festivals and events, invite waterside cafes and enterprises, and unlock new avenues for tourism and recreation. This isn't just about enhancing aesthetics. It's about creating jobs, boosting footfall for local businesses, increasing property values, and building a stronger, more resilient economy. But this is also about quality of life, and let's not lose sight of that ambition. To improve and enhance the quality of life for people living in Newry, people who have made the decision to invest their lives in living, working, and raising their families in Newry. A revitalised canal means more space for recreation and exercising, socialising, and it means enhancing civic pride, creating places and spaces where families can gather, visitors can linger, and communities can flourish. Newry Canal once fueled trade and prosperity. With vision and commitment, it can do so again, but the time to act is now. So I am urging this council to reimagine Newry Canal, not as a forgotten waterway, but something at the heart of a renewed and prosperous community and as a cornerstone of a brighter, better and more prosperous future for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Feehan. And could you tell us who's seconding your motion? Thank you, Councillor Finn.
Firstly, I'd like to start by thanking Killian for bringing this motion to council this evening. As a proud Newry woman with a grandfather who often sailed up the canal as part of his career in the Merchant Navy, from a young age in our household, I've been acutely aware of the importance of the canal for our city. Since becoming elected in 2023, I've become a voice to ensure the need for a lifting bridge across our canal is heard, to ensure that we don't stymie the future potential of that canal. And the proposals brought forward by Councillor Feehan this evening are an imaginative look towards a future that I'd really like to be a part of. Along with the proposals that Killian's made this evening, I would like to ask him if he would accept an amendment to the wording of Council will also write to the Inland Waterways Association of Ireland, Chesterfield Canal Trust, and Council will commission an independent review of all economic assessments related to Newry Canal to ensure our decision-making is informed by best practice in heritage economics and aligned with international standards, with findings to be presented to Council no later than 6 months from this motion's passing. I appreciate there is a previous economic assessment that has been completed, but in order to ensure a vibrant and thriving canal, particularly in light of the tremendous progress we have made with Newry City Park and the UNESCO Geopark status for the area, I think that there are other avenues that should be explored here. So I'd just like to thank Killian very much and hope that he will accept my amendment, which will be seconded by Councillor Devlin.
Okay, Laura, happy to second the amendment. Okay, Councillor Feehan. Gary, if you can send it through to Sarah. Microphone system.
Sorry, yes, I accept the amendment.
Yeah, motion there reads as amended. They just bear with us till Sarah takes people back in order to go in. I think it was Councillor Matters. Aidan, go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. I too would like to thank Killian for bringing the motion to Council tonight. Sinn Féin supports the motion, but we'd like to make an amendment to it. We'd like to include in it that a task group be set up within the Council and in conjunction with the ABC Council to future plan for the canal with a vision to make it a tourist attraction for both areas to boost tourism and bring much needed investment along the length of this historic canal. Thank you.
Have you a second for that, Aidan? Valerie. Yep. Just for clarity for the officers of a motion brought in November, ask group set up with ABC Council, just that we don't have a repetition of something. We're asking to do something that's already in.
Chair, as was said, earlier on, there is an action within the S&E committee to write to the minister in relation to the establishment of the task force, and I accept that we will check that and respond to us. I think what's been suggested is a general task force that would be slightly different.
Yep. Mr. Fien. Are you going to have to take the order again?
Yeah, I have no issue with that at all, Aidan, but just to wind here, would that be an internal task force that we can't be separate to what the previous motion called for? I have no issue with that at all, and thanks for the submission.
Yeah, thank you. So the motion now reads as amended. Yeah, Aidan has handed it across. Yeah, Councillor Young.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Killian, for bringing the motion, and we're very happy to support it. I have consistently said over the years that the canal should be the jewel in the crown of Newry. There's so much potential there for tourism, economy and the environment, And alongside the new city park, this would be an absolute game changer for the district. As a member of Newry Maritime Association, I've engaged already with Birmingham City Council to arrange a virtual meeting with them to discuss how they've rejuvenated and redeveloped their canal. Councillor Fian and I have already been speaking about that, and he will be included within that those meetings as well. And we'll ensure that collaboration happens, and we'll welcome support for all who wish to see Newry Canal take its rightful place as the jewel in Newry's crown. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. We in the DUP have no issue with this at all. We actually think if the canal was redeveloped, would be a massive tourist attraction, so it would, a lot of work needs done to it, so this, I know I would ride the bicycle up along the canal there whenever I'm feeling good, and there's not many hills on it this way. But on saying that there, I tell you, it is a massive attraction, so it is, and I tell you, it's all sorts of potential there, so it should for the rowing and all sorts of activities. So, and I think, to be quite honest with you, to connect with all the parts of the British Islands would be a great situation. So what the summary says, over in the mainland, so there is substantial monies there for redeveloping canals. And I know you have the Shared Island unit there. You wouldn't have learned it last night with Donald Trump and just one thing and another happening. So, but at the same time, if we can find the money, it will be a massive help, so it will, to the area. They're happy to support.
Thanks, Glenn. Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, very happy to support the motion. It's already been said, but you know, somebody from Newry, myself, it's the canal has played an important part of the history of Newry, and it has, but it does have a lot of potential and should play a vital part in the future of the city as well, as we seek to, you know, obviously benefit from the economic and tourism potential of the area, and obviously the financial benefits that brings to our district. So. As a council, obviously, we have a piece of work that we can do to try and encourage those with the necessary investment to do that, to bring that to our district. But we suppose we bring ideas forward and bring possible proposals to the table as well. That would help in terms of attracting money. But thanks to Councillor Fian for bringing that motion forward this evening.
Thanks for that, David. Everybody in agreement? Motion has passed. Councillor Fian, do you want to sum up?
Yes, thanks, Chair. And I won't keep this. I just want to speak to some of the points that were made. I agree, without praise there, with Councillor Fian. Look, the history of the canal and its heritage is ingrained in the DNA of Newry people. And like Councillor Fian there, I couldn't count the members of my family that served in the Merchant Navy. My grandfather worked on the locks. It is something that if we don't protect it and if we don't enhance it, it is just going to disappear, and with it so much of our important heritage as well. And I think that would dishonour so many generations of people that have come before us in Newry. I do agree with Councillor Fian that the Lifton Bridge conversation is important here too. That engagement is ongoing, and I think that that needs to continue, because it would undermine our efforts to fully utilise and realise the potential of the canal. I thank again Councillor Mathers for his intervention, for the support, and indeed for building the motion out as well. I think it's a great idea to create an internal task force, and I think it's something that all parties would be receptive to and willing to engage in and participate in, and I think that actually will be vital. It will be the difference between this being a good idea and something that's actually realised. So I look forward to sitting on that with you, Aidan. Thank you again to Councillor Young. You've been supportive of S&E, you've been supportive outside of the council, and I appreciate your support here again tonight. I agree with you totally, although I'm not a big fan of crowns and royalty. I do think that the canal should be the jewel in the crown for Newry, and I welcome the fact that you want to work together on this as well. Councillor Hannah, really appreciate the support of the DUP, and it's heartening to see the cross-party recognition of the potential that Newry Canal has, and I agree with you as well. and I chase the half crown a lot more than I chase the crown, and I have no issue at all with chasing money out of Britain. So that's why that call to the UK Shared Prosperity Fund is in there as well. And finally, thanks to Councillor Taylor. As a Newry man, you'll appreciate that this is not just an economic issue. It's not even just enhancing the standard of living issue. It is actually something that strikes a real deep chord with people in Uri, and I'm delighted that it has support from all parties and all quarters, and I genuinely look forward to working with all of you to turn this vision into a reality. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Fain. And motion as amended has passed. Okay, on to the final motion for the emergency motion is item 21, notice of motion, endometriosis. This will be heard of Council tonight. So, Councillor Devlin, if you want to read out your motion, please second.
Thank you, Chair. Welcoming news that Relugolix combination therapy has been approved by NICE for NHS England, which will help approximately 1,000 women per year suffering from endometriosis. Noting that this therapy would be of use to women who have explored multiple other interventions to treat endometriosis. This council stands with the many women across our society suffering from endometriosis who have been ignored or made to feel that their symptoms were exaggerated. Affirms that menstrual taboos are unhelpful and detrimental to our society. Will write to the Department of Health to seek an update on the efficacy of Relugolix combination therapy and seek views on the possibility of its introduction here, and commits to ending menstrual taboos in this district to allow women the space to be heard and believed when discussing menstrual health. Chair, thank you for hearing the motion this evening. I am very conscious of time, so I'll try and keep this as brief as I can. I am here today not only as an elected member, but also as someone who understands the personal struggles that many women face with endometriosis and other chronic gynae conditions. March past, there was Endometriosis Awareness Month, and this April is Adenomyosis Awareness Month. These are conditions that I honestly hadn't even heard of until I was diagnosed with both of them. Endometriosis occurs when tissue similar to the uterine lining grows outside the uterus. Symptoms can include really painful periods, chronic back and abdomen pain, fatigue and even fertility. So just think about that, a condition that leads to infertility, but no one here is really prioritising it. Then adenomyosis occurs when uterine lining tissue grows into the uterine wall, a condition which with often absolutely unbearable pain. Both of these conditions have major impacts on the lives of those they affect. They can affect your ability to leave your home, go to work, your relationships, and also greatly impact your physical and mental well-being. The problem here in Northern Ireland is a lack of support. We know of the pressures on gynae services here in the north. Unless your cancer red flagged, a consultant gynae appointment is nearly impossible to secure within a reasonable time frame. In the interim, women suffer greatly. We very much have a two-tiered system, those stuck on a never-ending NHS waiting list and those who are able to go private. That is completely and utterly wrong. Endometriosis is a very common condition, but one that often goes undiagnosed and can often be put down to that's just the way things are at your age. That shouldn't be the case. We should be breaking the taboo when it comes to menstrual health. We were all brought up to be embarrassed and not to discuss periods. However, we should be as open about these issues as we are about a broken arm, a migraine or arthritis, for example. My motion this evening refers to a very specific drug which has recently been approved by NICE for NHS England. So patients in England who haven't responded to other treatments now have this as a very specialised option, but here in Northern Ireland we don't. Members in this room will know that countless times I've been in this chamber and I've called for and expressed the need for a women's healthcare strategy here in Northern Ireland, but unfortunately that continues to fall on deaf ears. We remain the only part of these islands not to have one. Women need to be heard and respected. It's really superb to see more females at the decision-making table in government, but we must see delivery for women on these very real issues. We must see action to correct the imbalance. We need a women's healthcare strategy which is fully funded with specific targets and ones that are measurable. In conclusion, Chair, we as a council must stand with the countless women in our society who have felt ignored or invalidated in their experiences of endometriosis. Together, we must amplify their voices and ensure that they are heard and believed when discussing their health. The stigma surrounding menstruation and related health issues is detrimental to our society. We must work towards dismantling these menstrual taboos to foster an environment where women can openly discuss their health without fear or of judgment or misunderstanding. It's crucial that we all advocate for better treatment options and support systems for women. Let's take a stand today for the women in our district who are battling endometriosis. By supporting this motion, we affirm our commitment to improving menstrual health, breaking down barriers and ensuring every woman feels validated and supported in her health journey. Chair, thank you very much. And Councillor Finn will be seconding my motion.
Laura, have you been happy just to second?
Second, and just to say thank you so much to Councillor Devlin, because I think she articulates something that a lot so many women have experienced so well, and I think it's a really important topic, so thank you for bringing the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Councillor O'Hare.
Devlin's motion and thank her for tabling it tonight. Lack of awareness, inaccurate or delayed diagnoses and lack of access to appropriate treatment means that women suffer needlessly. This is an extremely painful and debilitating disease that can result in limited mobility, regular episodes of violent vomiting, and extreme life-altering pain. All too often, we in Sinn Féin speak with strong, intelligent, motivated women from our constituencies, and indeed some in this chamber, who are affected by endometriosis. Women who are impacted on a daily basis by their symptoms and want to share their experience to help us to understand how this terrible disease can impact on women and girls. Access to accurate diagnoses and treatments that can alleviate symptoms is so important, and we as a council must support that the NICE recommendations are implemented in the North. Women do deserve better. Where am I at?
So, David.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Devlin, for bringing forward this important motion. I know someone that's going through endometriosis, and the chronic pain that they face, sometimes they just can't leave the house. They're so in pain, so much in agony, and the next day it just disappears just like that, and then come back again. So to hear this therapy definitely represents a significant advancement for those who have explored multiple other interventions without much success. Starting with this motion, we look forward to receiving response from the Department of Health regarding the efficacy of the therapy and exploring the possibility of its introduction here in Northern Ireland, and I certainly hope from a friend that this will be explored. Thank you.
David, Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, I'll be brief as well. So I just want to thank Councillor Devlin for bringing forward this motion tonight. I think we all agree that Councillor Devlin, throughout her time in council here, and I've known her quite a while now, she's always been a very strong voice on women's health issues, a champion, so to speak, in many ways. And I want to commend her for that, for being that voice, you know. And I know others obviously, you know, have very strong support for what you're bringing forward here tonight on, and the other issues that you've brought forward over the years. But certainly, you know, you're always very, very passionate about these issues, and certainly I recognise that. And I certainly hope that the Department of Health can, you know, be in a position to provide this therapy to try and help alleviate the symptoms that the sufferers experience as a result of that. So if we as a council can try and, you know, help with that process and try and initiate that process with the department, that's, you know, a great role that we can play. And thanks to you for bringing it forward, because that initiates that process. So very happy to support what you brought forward tonight, Laura.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Laura, for bringing this forward. This problem is actually really debilitating, so it is for many, many women, so it is, and it's inclined not to be discussed very much. And I tell you, we in Northern Ireland there, we deserve to have the same opportunities, or the ladies in Northern Ireland deserve to have the same opportunities as those who are in the mainland to get the treatments that will massively improve their whole health. And it's just, it's hard to believe that you know, so many women do suffer from this here, and to have a really severe stage that is. And I'm not sure what we have working with the health minister there. We'd have to find it in his budget. Would that be right, Laura? The find money for this type of medication. So I really do hope the Ulster Unionist health minister looks really, really hard, and I hope successful conclusion comes for this, Laura. So we and the DUP will be supporting it. There's no issue there.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn. Okay, so got full support across the chamber. Yep, everybody in agreement with the motion? Okay, Councillor Devlin, if you want to sum up.
Yes, we just thank everybody, Chair, for supporting the motion this evening. It's quite personal to speak in the chamber and something like that, but that's something we need to do. We need to move past that to talk about these issues, but it is more acceptable, and people are there to help out. So thank you, Chair, and thanks to everybody for the comments. It seems very much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. And just a note there, sorry, I should have come in before it summed up. The Councillor Jim Brennan has noted his full support online and has put a message in to the chat. Some of the fellow councillors may be aware, I have a small business 2 years ago. One of my employees, aged 29, had to medically resign after contracting endometriosis.
Her loving husband has left work to support his 31-year-old wife. Her story is tragic. Regan, fully supportive of the motions. Thank you, Jim. Okay, that motion is passed. Okay, on to, as I said, the start of the meeting, the emergency motion. And to hear the emergency motion requires suspension of standing orders, and as we know, that takes a qualified majority of 80%. So we're going to move straight to the vote on suspension of standing orders.
Okay, Councillor Andrews?
For the suspension.
Councillor Bowsey?
For.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Burns?
For.
Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright's absent. Councillor Fehan?
For.
Councillor Finn?
For.
Councillor LeBreath?
For.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hannah?
For.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Hardy? Councillor Howell?
For.
Councillor Harry?
For.
Councillor Jackson? Councillor Kearns?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Searcher?
For.
Councillor Lewis? Councillor McGuinness? Councillor Mathers? Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor McAvoy?
For.
Councillor O'Hare? Councillor Declan Murphy? For. Councillor Kate Murphy?
For.
Councillor Selena Murphy?
For.
Councillor Quinn?
For.
Councillor Riley? Councillor Rice is absent. Councillor Wan is absent. Councillor Sharvin? Councillor Taylor? Councillor Tunley is absent. Councillor Truesdale? Councillor Young?
35-4. Standing orders is suspended. Councillor Clark, if you want to read out your motion, tell us who's seconded it.
Thanks, Chairperson. I would like to thank the members for accepting the emergency motion. Councillor Devlin will be seconding the motion. This council voices their grave concern over the most recent spree of gorse fires across the Mourne Mountains. This council acknowledges the devastating impact these fires have had on our rural countryside and will write to the dear minister calling on him to bring forward a comprehensive management plan. This council commends the work of the local authorities in combating these devastating fires, with firefighters from across the north battling the flames to protect life and property. Recognises the ongoing preservation work from the Forever Mourns Partnership. Speaking of the motion, Chair, delivered wildfires in the Mourne Mountains are nothing short of a heinous act against nature and our community. These fires are not only devastate the beautiful landscapes and habitats that countless species call home, but they also pose severe risks to human life and property. The intentional destruction of such a precious natural resource is utterly reprehensible and cannot be tolerated. It is imperative that those responsible are held accountable for their actions and that we strengthen our efforts to prevent such senseless acts of environmental vandalism in the future. In April 2021, we watched in horror as fire ripped through the Mourns. We were promised prompt action and a comprehensive fire prevention and management plan to ensure such devastation could never happen again. But here we are, facing the same nightmare. The Mourns are on fire once more, causing massive damage and posing significant risks to life and property. Terrified people have been evacuated from their homes in the middle of the night. 4 years on, we still lack the robust fire prevention management strategy that was pledged. The communities around the Mourns, organisations like Mourne House Trust, National Trust through the Forever Mourns Partnership, carry out peat restoration projects. Sphagnum moss, a common component of peatland, soaks up significant quantities of water like a sponge, blocking up drains, creating pools and inviting an array of wetter plants. All of this contributes to a wetter environment where it is far less likely that fire will take hold. This type of work needs to increase beyond the sleep-donored catchment area. I want to express my thanks and gratitude to the fire and rescue personnel who have battled 146 fires since Thursday midnight in difficult terrain and conditions all weekend to get these blazes under control. The emergency is far from over. The Mourns are still burning as we speak. As we approach the Easter holidays, we need to be vigilant regarding barbecues, fires in our beauty spots,
We need council and other statutory and environmental organisations to work in partnership to ensure the moorings are respected by visitors and locals alike. We need a management plan to control burns in a strategic way, working with landowners, trustees of the moorings, the Forever Moors Partnership, working with DERA to carry out preventative works, including installing fire breaks, removal of large gorse areas, increasing support for wetlands in a phased manner, dealing with the priority areas to provide a sustainable mosaic of habitat to reduce the fuel load that irresponsible fires thrive on. The regulations, safeguards and enforcement mechanisms are clearly not working. How many more fires, how much more damage to the moorings, and how much longer do we have to wait? I'm calling on the Minister, who in my opinion is passionate in relation to the environment, to urgently review the current burn period and to deliver on the promise of a fire prevention and management plan for the moorings. This is not just about protecting our natural heritage, it's about safeguarding our communities, biodiversity and the future of our environment. The ongoing fires pose severe risks to health, the environment and the species that inhabit these lands. The moorings are home to a variety of species, many of which have been severely impacted by the fires, ground nesting birds including red grouse, common lizards and numerous invertebrates which have perished in the smoke and flames. The destruction of habitats and the impact on our tourism product are significant concerns. As we sit here, as I say, the moorings continue to burn and we can't wait any longer for those with responsibility to act that has come together to demand the protection and preservation of our precious moorings. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Willie. Laura?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Willie. I suppose what a difficult weekend for the... Are we okay? Yeah. What a difficult weekend for the Fire and Rescue Service and the superb volunteers on the ground in the moorings. All these people take such risks day and daily to protect us all. I will never forget, and Willie's already alluded to it there, the fire in April 2021. It was during my time as Chair of Council, and watching the moorings just burn for days on edge was just horrendous. And here we are again. Lives at risk, homes at risk, widespread environmental damage, and the loss of wildlife is beyond sickening. These fires have to stop. I'm really pleased, Chair, this evening that you've called that special meeting, and thanks for that. I think it's so important that we hear from the different departments in terms of what they've done since 2021, because a lot was promised at the time. So I really do await that meeting urgently. So thanks to Willie for tabling the motion this evening. I know right across the moorings, we're all deeply impacted by such destruction, and we strongly urge action from central government and soon. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Laura. David.
Yep, thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to say it was important that we as a council spoke on this issue this evening, given the events that we have witnessed over recent days. I certainly, you know, even from my own point of view, I live in Bessbrook, but I seen even over the weekend smoke that was coming over the mountains at that stage, and that was extremely worrying to see, and it showed the extent of how bad things were. And even this evening, as I travelled here to Downpatrick, again, you could see that those fires were still raging in parts of the moorings, and there's obviously... You know, our local emergency services are out there, you know, trying to fight that, trying to, you know, prevent further damage that's already occurred. And that damage has been caused to the landscape, to the wildlife habitats, to the local environment, and indeed has caused risks to the local community in those areas where the fires have spread as well. So I want to pay tribute to all those that are, you know, at this moment in time and have in recent days, but being at the forefront of combating and fighting those fires, and indeed all the volunteers in the local community as well who have assisted in that process. And the meeting that you have, you know, we're looking to convene, that will be important for us as a council to be able to engage with all those statutory agencies about how we go forward in trying to prevent these things happening. Because we are, and the concerning thing is, we are only in springtime here. We have summer ahead of us as well. And it's, you know... We don't want to see this, you know, continuing to happen over the next number of weeks and months. So, very happy to support the motion that's been brought forward here.
Yeah, thanks, David. Lynn?
Thank you, Chair. To be quite honest with you, the Wednesday, Thursday of last week, I can remember looking up at the Slieve Binion just behind me and the fires that already started then, small fires. I thought to myself, whenever this has started there, hopefully it's not going to be very much, but it's just developed and developed and developed. So it has, and it's got to the stage there, as Willie says there, was it 146, you said, Willie? That's unbelievable, an amount of fires. Right from Hilltown, right over the mountains, so there's across the mountains, right down towards Newcastle and along by the Kingdom of Mourne, it's just unbelievable as it is. And what you're proposing, Chair, is an excellent idea. I know the time of COVID there, Connor gathered together all the statutory agencies so that, and there was an issue over the amount of people on the mountains and one thing or another. And actually, what Connor did get to grips with a lot of the problem. We now need to do the same again. And the other thing we need to do is too, you have to bear in mind, anyone that lights the fire is an arsonist. An arsonist. I know that is a very, very serious crime. If I went to somebody's house and lit a house and set it on fire and possibly did a lot of damage and even maybe put lives at risk, the police have a big part to play in this, so they have the need to track them down. And I would call on anybody in the community to please inform the police and let them know. I know the police are now bringing in other equipment to try to get a handle on this, but the punishments are going to need to reflect the crimes. At some stage, it will go too far, so it will. Should it be a fireman up the mountains? Because I was listening on the radio coming down the road, and I used to get from the bloody bridge to where some of the fires was. It was a 2.5-hour hike across the mountains. I don't even think I could do that, sir, before you actually start fighting the fire. And they're not even fighting it with water. They're just beating it out with beaters they are. You know, that is a very, very strenuous work, so it is. And all credit to those firemen and women that are up the mountain and then have to walk back again. It's just unbelievable. I see the local community now that they have got behind them and should they be giving them food and whatever else. We need to all get together, so we do. And what you're suggesting, Chair, is an excellent idea. It worked whenever Connor pulled it together, so it did. And I don't see any reason why it won't in the future again. As Willie says, we do need a plan to deal with all this. And the one thing, it only jumped to my mind, said that why do we not have helicopters or something like that there to drop water in this very quickly? Should Stirling possibly have a fund set aside for this type of an emergency? You know, I know helicopters are extremely expensive there. When you see it in other countries there, they can drop, I don't know how many gallons of water on a fire and could possibly put it out a lot quicker than putting men up there and putting women up there to risk their lives. It's possibly something that maybe could be raised at that point, so it could, you know, helicopters is probably the right way. Because I can remember there the helicopter coming up from down south and actually picking up water and actually dropping it, you know, the time it was really bad the last. So there is lots of things that can be done and alternatives that come up. I know it's going to cost money, but what price is our environment? We need to protect it, so we do. We do need to take action, so we do. So I'm calling for everybody to come behind everything, so do, and get behind your meeting, Pete, and hopefully with that instalment there, we'll get something good out of this.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Tracy.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Clark, for bringing this motion. Councillor Devlin for seconding. Councillor Clark, there's not much more that can be added to what you've already said. Every word you've spoken is truth. We commend the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, and I just want to say the majority of the fire officers at those fires are volunteers with full-time day jobs. So really, I don't know how they do it. I really don't. Also, PSNI, NIEA and other agencies for their effective and coordinated response to tackling these fires. Their heroic efforts under extremely difficult circumstances have worked to contain the spread of the fires and so far, prevented the loss of life. Those people deliberately lighting malicious fires are endangering life and property, devastating our environment and habitats, and putting farm businesses at risk. It is rural arson and it must stop. It is not possible to face the entirety of the moorings, and people should take personal responsibility. Those who are deliberately and maliciously lighting these fires must be reported to the police or Crime Stoppers. Whilst we should not underestimate the damage that has been caused, it is clear that preparedness and plans already in place have reduced the scale of the impact through a multi-agency approach. Going forward, the Minister, who's in Mourne this evening, has said that he will be reviewing and consulting upon the prescribed burn period and exploring potential ways for improved upland management to increase the resilience of our landscapes, to reduce the impact of fires. And just to pick up on what Councillor Hannah said, helicopters is actually an ask from the Department of Health. So that's who that request would go through. And I listened to our South Down MP this morning, and he said two things which really struck me. He emphasised that these fires have been going for 3 weeks. It's not just this weekend. They've been going for 3 weeks. And so far he's the only person I've heard say that, that this has started really early, a lot more than last year. And, you know, it's not going to stop unless people stop lighting them by the 14th of April. And he also said a sentence which really struck me. He said, we cannot continue to exploit vulnerable areas if we are not going to invest in them. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Jill, if you want to just hit your light. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, and I think it's right and proper that we took this motion to the Council as an emergency motion, really, because it's so central. The Moor Mount is such an integral part of all our lives and certainly in everything to do with this council. And I was somebody who has worked my entire career and still do in the foothills and even in the Moorns itself. I see the value of this and the uniqueness of the Moorns and the people who live there as well. And you know, reflecting back on what has happened the last number of weeks, certainly we commend the emergency services and all they do in attempt to try and quench the problem. But it's a long-term problem, and I do think the idea of bringing the task force together is absolutely essential. I don't think it's all tied up with the 14th of April burn date. I think a lot of it, as Mr. Hannah said, is pure arsonists, people out to cause trouble and cause mayhem. And the Mourne range is such a vast range of mountains with very difficult access onto it for everybody concerned to put those fires out again. That's why I think we do need to take a good long look at it, gather all the information from all the users, the public, landowners with land running onto the mountains, and put together a very good informative case for action, whatever the action may be. And I do think it has to start off with a very punitive measure for those that are caught deliberately causing this, because when it gets to the stage where people's, it's certainly, as Councillor Clark said, all the environmental damage that's been caused and havoc, because, but then they're moved onto the human side where people's lives have been endangered, people evacuated, terrorized out of their houses at 3 o'clock in the morning. Totally unacceptable for us. And I think that is a new low, and that's a new first for the Mourns, and that was up near my own Crofleave area. So I do think that it's totally unacceptable, and severe action must be taken straight away. You know, we need to see something come out of this before the end of the summer, at least. I presume, you know, if the laws have to be changed and other action taken in terms of that, I think we need to do that. And I know we've spoken to the police even before this, who were actually coincidentally happened to be talking about fires in around the Bourne area, and they were saying they're talking about deploying the helicopters and the the helicopter plus the plane and the drones, yeah. So I do think that they're trying their, they've recognised what the problem is, but as I said earlier on, such a vast area, it's very, very difficult with the low level of police we have in this area. So I think anything that comes out of tonight's meeting is much needed and hopefully will bear fruit. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Declan. Councillor Ray.
Yeah, Chairman, it's all been said, but Chairman, if you go back to the last major fires in the Mourns area, after investigation, it was attributed to a discarded barbecue in the Analong Valley area that sent embers all over Mourne, and there was hundreds of acres of forest burnt at that time. You know, those areas still haven't recovered yet. But this time round, it seems to be very sinister in that they are deliberate arson attacks. And some people say, oh, it's the farmers, they want to kill off the peat to let the grass up. That's not the case. Farmers can legally do controlled burns up until the end of March. But they do it in a very responsible fashion on certain areas. What's happening now will actually keep sheep off a lot of those areas because there'll be absolutely nothing there. There'll be neither grass nor heather. And it's going to cause economic hardship for an awful lot of people. And Chairman, whenever you have 100 people having to be evacuated, when you have properties and human lives threatened with destruction, this has to be taken very, very serious indeed. And Glenn mentioned the Irish Air Corps and the RAF, or whatever it was, Army Air Force up here, they did help many times. They helped during the snowstorms whenever cattle needed fodder, and they helped whenever the fires were threatening Tullymore and areas like that. They were very, very good. And there should be some sort of mutual agreement there. I'm told today, actually, by a guy from Donegal, that they're breaking out over there now as well, like copycat. And there should be some sort of mutual agreement within these islands that will help in really extreme situations, I guess. But I welcome the notice of motion, and I know Dan Forsyth brought it up in Stormont today, and the Minister has made pledges, and hopefully with Willie's motion here tonight, that will back things up. Definitely a very, very serious situation, Chairman.
Yeah, thank you, Henry. Okay, unanimous support for the motion. Yep. Okay, Willie, if you want to sum up.
Yeah, Chair, thanks very much. I'd like to thank Laura for seconding the motion. I'd like to thank everybody who spoke in favour. I think we've covered, you know, the vast majority of the topic. I'd like to thank everybody, obviously, who's supporting the motion, and the chairperson yourself as well for organising a meeting, you know, to take stock and progress the wildfire management plan. It's been talked about in the debate in regards to costs, you know, the environment, the community, tourism. Huge costs involving, you know, millions of pounds. That's what you're talking about. You know, all these wildfires through the season. You know, you're running into millions of pounds. This is a time when the public funds are in such demand, the finite resources that we have in the Assembly. And it can be used much better if there's money, you know, can be made available for prevention. I think that's, you know, what that focus has to be, and the executive supporting the DARE minister in progressing the preventative plan. Councillor Hannah alluded to the, you know, the risk of life, and a number of councillors did as well. Alluded to the risk of life. Also in the helicopter, dropping water and fires to speed up the process of putting them out. This all needs to be, you know, looked at. But as you said, there's a considerable amount of money in regards to helicopters, you know, and dealing with this. But I will agree, and someone will die if this continues. These irresponsible fires continue. You know, it'll be a firefighter, you know, some walkers trapped in a fire, can't get out of it. Someone in their house, someone in the car. I drove the other night on the Dublin Road by Dromina Mountain, and the fire was right onto the road. It was scorching, near scorching your car driving by, and really, really dangerous, near causing accidents and all sorts of things. You know, so you know, I call upon, you know, people who are carrying out these things, you know, desist from this, carry on, you know, because you're going to be looking at manslaughter charges. You know, so the voice from this chamber is going out, you know, loud and clear. This has to stop. You know, but thanks very much, everybody.
Thank you, Willie. Okay, motion approved. That concludes our meeting for this evening. Safe home, everybody.